so easily. Love I thought I warned you could be. This is the first time I've heard about nights out in school yard. Find out about you.
Hey, there he is. We're in the DealsInDeed.com studios, and we opened with the Gin Blossoms because
Friday.
Yeah, they're at Arts Beats and Eats.
Yes.
They're doing the early gig, actually. I think they're on at 5:30, 38 special at 7:30, and then Art Alexakis and Everclear.
Ooh.
So Robin Wilson, who was born in Detroit, before hitting it big with the Gin Blossoms in Tempe, Arizona, he's going to join us in about an hour. About as long as lens crafters used to take to make glasses. Do they still make that claim?
Who needs glasses anymore?
Yeah, no
lens crafters around?
Yeah, oh yeah, at the malls.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
That's funny, when you don't have glasses, you don't. That world doesn't exist anymore. Because I remember going all the time, but now that I don't have glasses, I don't even think about them.
I know, it's great, right?
It's awesome, it's the best.
Well, I'm very interested in the biggest box office bombs and flops that are actually good movies. This looks like a very interesting list, along with Robin Wilson. And there's just some weird things suddenly going on. I was having a pretty normal day until Mark demanded I come downstairs.
Twice.
To watch, yes, twice. To watch two ridiculous interviews, both relating to Colorado.
Oh, that's right.
They are both in Colorado.
That's right. One semi-serious, one... Well, I guess they're both serious.
They were both serious, I think.
And ridiculous.
Yeah, we need to hear them quickly here. But first, it's Aretha Day 2. People were in line at 4 a.m. And I'm reading the story, and they're writing this like it's the most normal thing in the world. They said vendors were setting up their tables at 6:30.
The pink Cadillac was back. I assume it's the same pink
Why?
Cadillac.
Is John McCain going to have vendors outside when he lies in the state?
Maybe.
What can he vend? Well, besides T-shirts.
I know. I mean, just the idea of having vendors as someone lies in state, just doesn't that seem tacky?
Yeah, 100%.
Selling out your birthday. Or there, your death day, sorry.
I mean, it's nothing to do with Aretha. She's not alive to okay it. No. I'm not sure she didn't have a problem with it.
Well, maybe you could show a little...
Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me.
Exactly.
Who were they talking to down there just now when we were watching? Was it Channel 4, the guy in the bright red suit?
It was CNN. CNN, yeah. They were talking to some reverend that had the loudest pink suit right up there with Nathaniel Abraham level.
Yeah.
And it was really distracting. Didn't know anything that he said.
And R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's what I want from me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's what I want. Respect.
How does she get two T's on that?
I don't know.
Oh. She always thought it was respect.
Apparently.
Respect. Roespet, I think is how she spelled it.
It's Michael Jackson's birthday today, by the way, too. Oh.
But Trudy, wasn't he in a religion where you don't celebrate birthdays? Wasn't he a... Wait, Jehovah's Witness?
Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Happy birthday to him.
Or Christmas.
I don't care.
But,
he would have been 60 today.
His son, Prince, was on this morning. Today, I think.
His
was
son?
Today? Yeah.
Prince? Prince doesn't make any appearances.
Prince Michael?
He was?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he's pretty quiet. He's actually trying to carve out a career on his own. Is ridiculous.
I kind of like him.
Well, I do, too. I like Prince.
Well, his thing was that he couldn't dance like his dad, and I was like, which one?
Arnie Klein?
Yeah, a lot of dermatologists can't dance, so I'm not surprised their kids don't dance
well. They're doctors.
Well. Yeah, I don't think Prince has the illusion that Michael Jackson is really his biological father.
Unlike Paris?
Oh, yeah. God, no. I mean...
Paris says, if you say it's so, it's so. If you believe it. So, that's an interesting way to think. Aretha, by the way, did you point out that she's in a new powder blue dress today?
No, he did not. But I'm glad you told
me. Isn't that adorable?
Yes. Who changes her?
I know.
I thought about that, and what a bummer that must be.
Remember yesterday I thought there might have been a radio station out there?
Yeah.
I had someone text me who worked in the radio business, said, absolutely, that was 105.9's tent.
Really?
Yes. They put a tent.
They were broadcasting live, or they had a radio tent.
Were they whispering when they talked?
No, they're probably celebrating the life of Aretha Franklin.
Hey, we're here to Aretha Franklin. She's lying in state here. And hey, here's Joe. He's got the pink Cadillac. How you doing, Joe?
Isn't that really weird?
I think
Are
it's
they a
strange.
Sponsor?
Of what? A funeral?
Sorry.
Well, you know, it is a... I guess there are satellite trucks there, I suppose, right?
Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, for TV.
So, it's just that radio station is always so up and, you know... It's a party, and we're throwing T-shirts out to people.
Oh, yeah.
It just seems
shiny kinda... and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night. Gone too soon.
Too soon. I'm glad somebody pointed that out, even on his birthday. And I'm sure Michael would be a very... Don't you think he'd be just in a very peaceful, serene, normal place?
Oh, yeah.
Just living a very in the autumn of his life.
Yeah, he didn't like crazy stuff surrounding him.
No, I think...
Jesus juiced out.
You know, it's interesting to think if he had lived... would he have made it through that tour? Would he have done those shows?
No.
Oh,
I kind of didn't think so either.
No.
No, you saw This Is It.
He looked like he could pull it off, but I don't know. He
had to do 50 shows, though.
Remember the press conference?
Yes.
When all he just kept doing was smiling and then turn away from the mic.
I love you.
I love you.
It was so weird.
Design.
I'm amazed that he could just die the way he did from taking propofol, by the way, and just have this normal, reverent kind of thing.
Yeah.
It just seems there was so much to be said about him when he died, and so much of it was not said. and I guess that's okay.
Sure.
Is this the press conference?
I'm looking for it, yeah. Most of it's screaming.
Guys, screaming yeah. Dudes. That was the weirdest thing you'd seen at a Michael Jackson concert, were the guys in their 30s just screaming.
Still not sure, Jacqueline, actually, as to whether he's going to actually address the crowd. I mean, there are people that are representing him, obviously, but do you...
I didn't need that guy's
that
commentary.
Dude? Hi.
No. Thank you all.
Whoa.
Good start.
This is it.
I'm really this shy. Is it. I'm embarrassed.
Look at him dancing. He is so fucking high right now, isn't he?
I just want to say that.
Look at that wig.
These.
Yeah.
These will be my final show performances in London.
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't have been.
I think so.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
He would have done, if he lived, he'd done another tour.
Oh, yeah. Are
you kidding me? He was like 50, 54 or something.
Well, he would have had to, at some point, get sober, right? And then maybe he would have been hell, so he could have done it again. Maybe till.
Well, that would have been the
I'm
new
in
round.
I'm pain all the time.
That would have been the new round of magazine covers and.
Yeah. Yeah. A book, two books, maybe.
I'm really shy. I'm embarrassed.
What is this?
I know, it's really weird.
I'll be performing the songs my fans want to hear.
Yeah!
What other songs would you perform?
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final.
Yeah, you've said that, Jacko.
The final curtain call. Okay?
No, it's not.
And I'll see you in July.
Okay.
That's really overdoing it.
You can smell my farts.
And
look at those guys. Who are those dudes?
He paid them.
They're more excited than the woman who was standing amongst them.
Way more.
I love you. I really do. You have to know that. I love you so much.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
Really.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart.
I'm going to try.
Totally false. This is it. And see you in July.
Yeah, you already said that.
Do you think if I started saying I love you every 5 minutes or so, it would pay off?
Oh, yeah, people would believe that.
So only if you say in that voice.
Exactly give the...
Would the people at Mesa act like that, maybe? Saturday, 4 to 7.
I expect them to now.
This is the last time you'll ever see Drew. I'll see you in July.
This is so amazing. He's 50 years old there.
I know.
And people are acting like that. It's so weird.
It's a 50-year-old man.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to fathom that.
Wearing that lush wig there.
And actually, Aretha, you know, 76 years old, look at the outpouring for her. It is.
Yeah.
Music does have incredible, incredible, incredible effect on people.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so we are at Mesa Saturday from 4 to 7, and you can get passes if you go by Zot Ford. May as well also drop a commission. Wave a commission. Sorry, he never drops a commission. He waves it. And there's no pressure to buy a car. They literally want you to come by and get passes for Arts Beats and Eats. So there.
Yeah.
And if there's any left, we'll have them on Saturday at Arts Beats. Steve Guevara will be there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Any word on if Brandon's going to make it?
No, but the poll results are in. Well, actually, the poll's not completed.
There's still time to vote.
Yeah, people seem to think he should not be at his fantasy draft Saturday.
Well, but 49% think he should come and join us at Mesa. But 21% think he should go to his fantasy football draft.
Really?
14% want him to work on the nursery, and then 16% want him to take pictures of the work being done on his home.
Who wants him to work on his nursery? How much time does he's not here. How much time does it take to get a nursery ready?
Well,
hours.
If you caught it at the end of the show, I said, well, what are you doing Friday? He said, well, that's when we're painting it. So I don't know what he's doing Saturday.
You have to buy a crib. You need a mobile to hang from the ceiling. Yeah. And that's about it.
That is really all that you need at first.
No, it's very easy. Maybe a rocking chair.
Diaper changing station.
A rocking chair and a changing table.
Okay, you can order that on Amazon, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's about 20 minutes for the crib, the mattress, and the chair.
I assume he has it and has to put it together.
Is he getting it from IKEA?
Maybe. I mean, I had to put together all our
did
stuff.
Ya?
Yeah.
Why can't just buy furniture? You can't buy furniture anymore that's put together? I haven't bought
you can, but I'm sure.
I ask questions like this all the time, Trudy. When things come in parts, I'm like, wait, you got to be kidding me. Is there someone you can pay to do this part?
I like doing it. I don't know. Made me feel like I built something.
Oh, well.
Even though it's a matter of following directions.
Yeah.
I told you I did it when Michigan State played Notre Dame.
Oh, the crib?
The one loss they had. Yeah, built everything.
Really?
When he put Maxwell at the end of the game, he pulled Connor Cook.
Yeah, I faintly remember that.
It's a big game.
We have justifying your use of your domestic time watching football by putting together.
I know. I built a dresser when Michigan was playing. I think, did they lose? They have a tough game at Rutgers once at night.
Yeah, they did.
I built a dresser that night. it was also the same night, I think, the Nationals were in a playoff game that went extra innings. It was a crazy playoff game.
Oh, the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You remember all these benchmarks
I was paying attention to the game and not building it. And I was very angry.
We have an important interview to get with as CNN interviewed a former lover of, what's his name, Wyatt? Chris Wyatt?
Chris Watts.
Chris Watts.
Yeah. The one? The former lover?
Yeah.
Former lover. Now, maybe not the former lover. One of, maybe. We're not sure. This is...
She did Ashley Banfield did a good job teasing.
Find out some of the even bigger secrets. Because now is the time in any murder case you start looking for past answers, and sometimes the past actually comes to you. Tonight we have someone who claims to be from Chris Watts' past.
Oh. Okay, let me do
Chris
a break
Watts'
first.
Recent past.
Ooh, what this is so weird.
What a tease.
This is such a twist that, it's just really weird hearing this. It just kind of blew my mind, but... It shouldn't have, but it kind of did. I don't know. You seem pretty shocked by it.
I'm shocked that this was on television.
Yeah, I was.
And it wasn't TMZ.
I would have thought there would have been a lot more. I wonder how much vetting was done.
Zero.
Because I thought the guy was going to go Baba Booey.
Yeah.
After about
he
5 minutes.
The guy's very. Oh, well, now we kind of gave it away.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a dude. And he does not sound like he's impersonating a gay person.
What?
Sounds like a gay person.
Not only is it a dude, but it's his alleged former lover.
Oh,
CNN
wow.
put on an alleged former lover of Chris Watts, the guy that murdered his wife and children.
Huh.
How much vetting do you think was done?
Very, very little.
I kind of felt the same way.
They wouldn't give his name.
That's bullshit. Total bullshit. Although I watched every second of it, and I want to hear it again.
I'll be very hypocritical about it.
Oh, I have no problem with that. If they put it out there, it's not my fault. I can't unwatch it. I can't undo it. I might as well watch and enjoy it and get something out of it. So right after this, Zod M59 Dodge Ram. And by the way, we're not live on Facebook. Or are we live on Facebook?
We are live on Facebook.
Uh-huh. Okay. I wasn't sure if we're going to...
Are we still live on Facebook?
Okay. We are. Okay. Then I should mention prudentialalarms.com, of course, is the place to go. If you're looking for a home alarm or cameras or what have you, and Drew is busily texting away with you. Are they not on today?
No, they were on yesterday.
All right. So. Text Drew or call Prudential Alarms if you're interested in any system. And remember the Maz Deluxe system, of course. As Zot M59 Dodge Ram and Zot M59 Chrysler Jeep continue rocking the deals in the D summer clearance event. During their summer clearance event, you can lease the new completely redesigned 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab at just $248 a month. The Ram Bighorn is the number one selling half-ton truck in Detroit, and you lease it for $248 a month at Zot M59 Dodge Ram. Did I hear somebody say Jeep? Well,
Jeep.
During Zot M59 Chrysler Jeep summer clearance event, you can lease a new loaded 18 Jeep Cherokee for $199 a month. Cherokee has heated leather seats, all-wheel drive, backup camera, CarPlay, plus much more. It can be yours for just $199 a month. Check out the ridiculous summer clearance event specials and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. Then there's our friends at... let's see, we have so many friends. How about Dr. Yaldo? And we've talked about how difficult it would be to reattach your hand every time you used it.
It really grabs your attention.
It does. It's like watching somebody with reading glasses, put them on, see something up close, take them off, put them at the bridge of their nose, then they lose them, can't find them. Where's my reading glasses? Blah, blah, blah. All these things, reading glasses, regular glasses, contacts, or pain and unnecessary, as Mark mentioned, it's not even in his world anymore. There are two great ways to free yourself from these things. Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's leading, most experienced eye surgeon. If you're 40 or less, custom LASIK will change your life. Nearly 100% of patients get 20/20 or better. And if you're 50 and beyond, the multifocal lens implants are amazing. Read the tiniest print, see everything else with stunning precision, and never get cataracts. Nothing to fear. These surgeries take minutes. They're painless. And my sister, Patty, is getting the multifocal lenses in a few weeks, and she is pumped. Get a free evaluation.
Patty!
Call 800-398-EYES. 800-398-EYES.
Come on, Patty!
YaldoEyeCenter.com.
Come on, Patty.
And the Hall Financial Hotline will be activated
for
soon. Robin Wilson from the Gin Blossoms. And you know, I was reading about the Gin Blossoms, and I get psyched when we have somebody in rock and roll on the show. I don't just seems like it's a good way to go.
Yeah, it's fun.
It eats up the time that would be spent on things that I'm just getting irked by. Like, I swear to God, I turn on the news every day, and I don't know. I guess it doesn't seem like you guys get that irritated. I just get frustrated. Like, I'm tired of these stories over and over and over.
Well, it changes the subject.
Yeah, it does. It's an evergreen topic, but they're coming to town.
Yeah.
They had hits in the 90s. I forgot about all the songs they had.
They were back here. They were here in February, I think.
Oh, they were?
February or, yeah.
Where were they?
Oh, that's right. You were trying to get them on. Were they at St. Andrews or Majestic?
I think it was Majestic. The guy was like, call me back in a couple of months. So now it's come together.
Did he give me a Madden response? Still sleeping.
He did. But it was the efforts of John Witz, who promotes those shows, that put this together. So thanks, John.
Yeah, Arts, Beats, and Eats does seem to have some pull.
Oh, yeah.
Either that or they recognize the podcast can do some good. Till I hear from you, I had forgotten about that song completely.
Yeah.
Which I guess Marshall Crenshaw wrote with him. I love Marshall Crenshaw. What a nice combination.
I didn't put it together until you said that was one of their big idols. Marshall Crenshaw. Totally.
Well, I was reading about influences for the Gin Blossoms. It's like, wait, this is power pop, power alley. Marshall Crenshaw, the Byrds, REM, Big Star, the Smithereens, the Plimsolls.
Yeah.
Tom Petty, Badfinger, Replacements, Cheap Trick. I guess Robin Wilson was a huge Tom Petty fan.
Really? Wow.
They've been covering a Tom Petty song on this tour. I told you what it was. I can't remember. Hang on.
Yeah, it wasn't a song that you would expect them to cover. We're doing Wild Horses, too.
Anything that's rock and roll. Do you know that song?
I don't know that song. I kind of want to hear it now.
Asking you shall receive.
Guitar style is very, I don't know, very unique to them.
It is unique to them.
Jangly, sort of.
I call them a jangly guitar band. I hear the Byrds kind of.
I do hear the Byrds.
But it's a different jangle. The jangle's different. It's a unique jangle.
That's a little more, I don't know. It's not more rockin' than it's deep Tom Petty.
It's a short song, 224.
There are not many Tom Petty songs that I don't like, where I just go, I hate that song.
Yeah, he's consistent.
I'm not sure what that means, because I was reading about, you know, Alex Zakas from Everclear was talking about the fact that he has very few things he's done musically that are cringy, which I understood what he was saying, but then I was reading, for some reason I saw that word again, and I thought, you know, if you're not taking many chances, you're not going to do anything very cringy.
Right.
And Everclear does sound, they have a specific sound. I think guys that attempt larger things or try to go out of their zone of comfort. They can do cringy
strings
things.
Strings behind it.
It's an interesting thing, though.
Only ELO can do that.
When you listen to Everclear and that first hit, Heroin Girl, which horribly autobiographical about his girlfriend that died of an overdose and his brother, that's a little more like punky alternative, but then you get to AM Radio, which is a great song too. It's more funk. It uses Mr. Big Stuff as a sample. So neither one of them cringy, but man, he did kind of change the scope.
I can't believe they used Mr. Big Stuff as a sample. It was
like
so cool.
Yeah,
it's quite a little.
I could see maybe someone go, it's corny, but I kind of like it. I kind of like the lyrics.
I dug it. And AM Radio for a lot of people, they don't know what that song would possibly be about. But
it's what he was listening to, right?
Yeah.
Back when he was living in the projects.
Well, I was texting with someone today who will remain private, Patrick. And he was talking about the Rolling Stones. And I was talking about how I remember very specific seasons of certain years that were like 76 or 78, Miss You, summer of 78, Rolling Stones. That song was on the radio all summer of 78.
Right.
And Uncle Albert was on the Summer of 71. I just remember that song's on the radio all the time because I went to baseball camp, got the car. It's Only Rock and Roll was 74, I think.
Oh, really?
My Sweet Lord was 70. It was just, that was a huge hit. And anything that was a giant hit, you would associate. And they were all, it was AM radio that played the hits then. Yeah. Even the rock hits.
Yeah, yeah.
You were going to hear them on AM. And every now and then you'd have, find that really adventurous older person who's like, hey, man, FM's where it's at. They play whole album sides. And eventually I found my way there.
They could also sell you pot, that same guy.
Yeah. By the time I got to FM, it was already corrupted and playing its own hits, unfortunately.
Yeah. What did you listen to then?
AM radio is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
I listened to CKLW and then segued to MMS.
MMS FM?
Yeah, WMMS.
Okay, right.
So, yeah, it was CKLW, it was AM MMS. Radio, all the hits were. And then
MMS is... That's a set of call letters. Yeah.
They were cool and hadn't completely sold out for a really long, long, long time.
Now, have they sold out now, like Riff and every other cool set of call letters?
I think they're, yeah. I think everybody is.
WXRT
soon
in Chicago.
AM radio will reign king once more.
They're very tightly programmed.
Is WXRT Chicago the only cool, real commercial FM station left?
Oh, I should listen to them online.
KROQ is probably...
K-Rock, yeah.
Yeah, K-Rock has always been kind of cool. There's a few. I think there's one in Austin that plays a really neat playlist.
I was thinking about your summer songs and matching up. Now you have This Summer to match up with Fifi by Nicki Minaj and Tekashi 69.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you hear that song, you'll
think of
the summer 2018.
Except that I can't keep 1 year from 15 years apart.
What did you mention
today?
Oh, Beanie Wells, the running back.
Yeah, I thought he played for Ohio State like 3 years ago. He played in 2006.
He retired from the NFL 6 years ago.
Wow. And he had a fairly lengthy career.
Yeah, a couple of years.
A pro football player. More than a couple, isn't it?
I know, but that 2006 game seems like yesterday, and it was 12.
Oh, wait a second. Is that the 42-41 or 41-40?
Yes, that game down in Columbus.
That was in Columbus?
Yeah, 2006. Uh-huh.
When Michigan tried the two-point conversion?
They were both undefeated.
Oh, that game, yeah.
You're thinking of the Devin Gardner broken foot game.
Yes.
And that was at Michigan.
The Columbus one was 41-38, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. God, that was a great game. Sorry, Trudy.
No problem.
It was a great game.
Okay, so let's listen. You know, let me do another break because I don't want to get us behind again. And I hate to re-tease something that's already been teased, but we will be back with the gay lover of, is it Chris Wyatt?
Watt.
Why do we want to call him all the other names?
We cannot verify that he was
Yeah, we've been trying to vet this ourselves.
Good enough for CNN, it's good enough for us, right?
Exactly.
Is he on Facebook?
Well, we don't know. We won't know. That's the problem.
No.
You are fake news.
Zod Ford's summer sales event is in full swing. That means the hottest deals and lowest payments in the summer. Better still, Maz has returned from his umpteenth vacation. He missed 8 days this summer, and he sold 13 cars. Wow. How does he do it? He's ready to get back to working hard as a part-time schedule at Zod Ford and Holly. He's put together at least 2 full weeks now. Maybe, and is he on the third full week in a row?
He must be exhausted.
He is, yeah. To celebrate Maz's trip. Oh, by the way, he did reiterate he's still interested in that 99 Econoline Ford.
Yes.
That the person of interest, who it seems like a very heavy suspect now.
Yeah.
But he would love to trade that
allegedly
in.
Allegedly killed his sister.
Put that guy in a better car, at least, so he can get to
Tom wants to sell him a new car, because that man was a
murder van.
Yeah.
Well, and it was a POS, too. It had a lot of rust. It was ready to go. He needs to trade it in. But Maz would need him to be on the lam for 5 days to make the sale go through. That was the only problem.
Let him park it at Tom's house for 5 days.
That was cute.
To celebrate his return, you can lease a new 18 Ford Escape as low as $133 a month, or lease a new 18 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 as low as $161 a month. Finally, lease a new Ford 18 Explorer as low as $177 a month. Plus, Zod Ford is still offering 0% financing, plus cash rebates on select new vehicles. Zod Ford's sensational summer sales event ends August 31st. As do all the ludicrously low payments. So surf their ridiculous deals and massive inventory at dealsindeed.com. We're getting down to the wire. It's almost the end of August. Yeah. Saturday in Mesa is September 1st.
Yeah.
College football.
College football kicks off.
What is it? What are the
tomorrow?
Afternoon? What are the afternoon? It does tomorrow.
It's got to be a Thursday night game.
Really?
Jeez. I know, isn't it exciting? It's probably a MAC game.
Is there a good Saturday afternoon game?
What? What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I love MAC. I love MAC-tion.
It's funny. I will watch MAC-tion on the first Thursday night just to see.
Yeah, if it's a good
game.
To see
action, I'll watch MAC-tion.
Oh, no. There isn't a Thursday night. Oh, wait.
There's got to be.
Wait a sec. There were games last Saturday?
Oh, there were, not Division I games, though, I don't think.
Yeah, Wyoming, New Mexico State.
What?
At Barn Burner, Hawaii, Colorado State.
Really?
Thursday night, the big game appears to be Northwestern and Purdue.
Oh.
On ESPN. That's a fun game.
I'll watch that.
Yeah. UCF plays UConn.
No MAC-tion available now that we've talked about it? I was kind of psyched for some
Central
MAC-tion.
Well, what? Ball State's playing Central.
Who's Northwestern in?
They're Big Ten.
Big Ten.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. It does seem like a MAC school.
I thought they were too
should be.
Cerebral
should,
to be.
They should be involved in MAC-tion. It's a private school, too. They don't. How many students? They have 10,000 or something?
Yeah,
it's
not
a, by
that
far
many.
The smallest. I don't know how they stayed. I would have never dreamed they'd still be in the Big Ten.
The Michigan State plays, you know, their opening Friday night game that they've been doing for the last couple of years.
Oh.
Against Utah State.
Is Utah State any good?
No.
Okay.
The Urban-less Ohio State Buckeyes take on Oregon State at noon. That's the ABC game on Saturday.
Okay.
That seems to be. Oregon State. Washington and Auburn. At 3:30, that's a great game, great matchup.
Sweet.
Tennessee, West Virginia, that's a nice matchup.
Tennessee and West Virginia? Mm-hmm. Boy, West Virginia plays tough openers, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Played the Hokies last year.
Yeah, and they have a ranked matchup on Monday.
Yeah.
And Sunday night, there's Miami and LSU, so, oh my God, I know what I'm doing this week.
Wow. Is Florida State ranked?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Are they ranked
19th.
High? Are they ranked 19th,
yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They're pretty loaded. New coach, though.
Can you build me some furniture during that game?
I kind of... Sure, it's funny. So I was just thinking, what chore can I get away with doing so I can watch the game uninterrupted? Isn't that terrible? I do have to work on the new computer.
Great...
I bought a computer like 5 months ago and have not set it up yet.
Really?
It's already obsolete.
So that's, you're looking for some fake event you can participate in?
I'm gonna go
in front of the TV,
computer.
Something that works in front of the TV.
Of course. Most of these are at night anyway, so.
Something that matters to Julie?
Yeah, exactly. And I'll do it really slow.
You know, so you really
methodically.
Can't.
She's still listening to the podcast. She's a little bit behind. The other day she texts me. She goes, do you really own Bitcoin? I was like, no. And then I wrote back and said, I own Ethereum and very little. And there was no response back.
Where's Bitcoin, by the way?
Joe? Zooves?
7,000? It's up.
Is Ethereum under 100 bucks yet? No. Where's it at?
Like 290.
It's going the wrong direction.
Lord. Yeah. What a joke.
Well, that's why maybe you should talk to Luke Nowacki.
Hey, what a segue.
At Pinnacle Wealth Management, whether you have $11 trillion or Bitcoin that's worth $3 and something and change saved up. It's important to have a plan in place when saving for retirement. Let's spread that $3 and something out. Some people may believe it's never been worse, but the truth is there's never a bad time to reanalyze your current plan to achieve the retirement you want.
You have your 401ks.
Yeah, it could be up 41%. You might have a wife telling you how smart you are.
My 401k is up 41%. My wife thinks I'm a genius.
You still might want to call Luke Nowacki. Maybe you're in something that's peaked out, and Luke might want to advise something a little more conservative, or maybe you're not making enough on your 401k, even though it looks good. Call him at 248-663-4748. It's always good to go over these things, especially if you don't look at them very often, which a lot of people don't. A no-obligation review of your financial strategy, and you should have a strategy, especially if you've got little kids. I know it starts to wear on you, college and all that. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Signature Investors Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor at 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 48034, 248-663-4700, or call Luke direct, 248-663-4748. And now, the heavily vetted Chris Watt interview, Lover interviewed. By Ashley Banfield.
This person, because he wants to continue his life without consequences for speaking out in this case, but we are going to let him tell his part of how he connects to this story.
Yeah, boo-fooing a married dude.
This is a story that we have to be honest with you. We can't independently verify, but it is a story that could be extremely
juicy.
Telling as we try to figure out what happened in the Watts family.
Pause for a second. Mm-hmm.
This is a man who claims to be...
I'm kind of amazed she said a story that can't be independently verified.
Why not?
I would think they could do a little research.
Well, as you find out, there should be some kind of digital footprint of communication between the two. So let's see it and then verify it.
Banfield?
Yeah.
I mean, they can't put his dick in the other guy's ass. Obviously,
no,
they can't.
Or vice versa.
Right.
Or mouth.
Or his mouth.
Or his hand.
There are pictures somewhere of the two of them.
You know what? There might well be.
You would think, well, the communication.
I would think they'd want to record
coffee.
That, frankly.
He claims they met on a dating app, so you would think,
oh,
you
yeah,
could
dating
see there.
App. Yeah.
Seems like gay sex is pretty hot. I would think you'd want to record something. Especially if you've been married to a chick all this time and you really want to boo-foo a dude so bad.
Or get boo-fooed.
You'd want that recorded. I guarantee it's recorded in his head.
Ooh, and then maybe the wife found it.
Oh, oh, that's why they were breaking up.
Ooh,
yeah.
Recorded his head.
I bet you could print it off his brain. It's so prevalent there.
So crisp, clear.
He's playing on his forehead every 3 hours. Can you imagine that? If it did that? Oh man, he'd be wearing a hat everywhere. He'd have his hair a lot longer.
That's the basis of a science fiction movie.
God, that is. You're right. What a cool movie that would be.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Well, what is the basis? Just the thing you're thinking about all the time?
Yeah, that you can't get things off your forehead.
So you have to find ways of, like, hypnotizing yourself or something like that, so you can't remember it.
The guy would have a sex scene for the most part
with
the girl they're talking to in it.
That might be kind of flattering.
Yeah, sure.
I can see by your forehead that you like me.
Yeah.
I think women would like it, actually. They'd say it was horrible, but they'd actually like it.
Unless, me too.
Unless you're talking to him and he's thinking about somebody else and he's right there on his forehead and out.
And how hot, though, when
you
showed up on a girl's forehead when you had no idea. Or somebody calls you, won't believe what I saw on this chick's forehead.
Three guys.
And you were one of them.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Here. Chris Watts, former lover. And he joins
former
me now
lover.
Live. Sir, can you hear me okay?
I can.
I
Sounds
won't
credible
use a name
already.
For you. And I understand your panic about having...
We have to point out, too, as she's talking, they're showing pictures.
Of him.
Oh, yeah.
From her social media, pictures and videos. And honestly, Drew, I think you agree. We both agree that
the gayest possible stuff they could show of Chris Watt.
It's He's him working out.
Doing push-ups with a couple barbells in his hands.
Yeah.
And then
he's bent over at one time with his kid climbs on his back.
His positions are really weird. The kid's on his back. I mean, I know it's a kid, but still.
They clearly were looking for the gayest pictures.
Backlash in this very public story. This is a very public case. But can you tell me how it was you first met Chris Watts?
It was on an app.
And what kind of an app was it?
It was kind of a social media app.
Oh.
The app's called Meet Me.
Hot.
Wait, what?
Meet Me.
And when you met him on this app, how did he present himself?
Of course.
And what was the nature of him connecting with you?
Read between lines.
He messaged me. Ooh. It seemed all very innocent.
Then they had a clip of him on the phone talking to someone with the implication that that's what he looked like when he talked to this gay guy.
On the profile, it didn't have a last name or anything. It just had his last initial. He was listed as straight and not bi or homosexual.
That's interesting.
So I was kind of off put by it, and then
he thought it was hot.
You hung in there, though.
He just told me he wasn't really out or comfortable being out.
But eventually you met him in person, and take me from there. What happened?
Look at that other picture. That he's in.
Correct. I met him in person. He came over the first time we met. He came over to the place I was staying in Loveland, Colorado, which is pretty much a neighboring town.
Now, pause.
Frederick.
The question here is, how soon were your penises out? I mean, isn't that the obvious question? Yes.
Did she ask it?
This guy's been with a chick for all this time, and he's finally with a dude.
That's the implication.
She more or less asks.
I was so gay, but I couldn't tell anyone.
She's thinking it right now.
And when you met, was it clear why he was there? Was it clear that he wanted a romantic relationship with you, or did that develop in time?
What a dude doing this interview.
It was clear that he was interested in me and attracted to me.
Oh,
hot.
And how soon was it that your relationship turned romantic?
Romantic.
10 minutes.
That night.
Ooh.
What?
How
my
long
boyfriend
did you continue a sexual relationship with Chris Watts?
Off and on until March or April.
Wow.
That sounds smoking.
So, how does that time out? Is that about 9 or 10 months?
Yeah.
And during that time...
About 10 months.
Just one relaxed
Sorry, go
gay
ahead.
Guy.
About 10 months. We originally met in June last year.
Okay. And during that time, did he ever tell you that he was married or had children?
No, I found out when we were both out and about. Well, I knew he had children. He told me he had children, but he portrayed it. He portrayed
the video they're showing now is him cutting his daughter's hair.
Which led looks to like a very
they were running out of,
effeminate yeah. activity, cutting hair, a man cutting a girl's hair.
Yeah.
Like he's a hairdresser.
Well, they were running out of videos to
and
show.
And they're looping the video, too. He's doing the same thing with her hair over and over. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
When there was some point in late January or February that I met up with him and I got in his... Ford pickup.
Oh,
hot.
And he had his daughters with him.
Ooh, not hot.
That is weird.
And the oldest pretty much spilled the beans that he was still married. She asked him, I'm sorry, I'm so nervous. She asked him if she could sleep with him and mommy tonight.
Ooh, we had trouble getting mommy out.
Yeah. And that's when I
gross.
Found out.
Now hang up the phone, all right? Because there's a lot of other guys at the gay bar who need to use it, all right?
That was the end of the clip that they shared. Wait. But it went on. It went on longer, I guess, on the show. That is so irresponsible.
I know. It seems real. I don't know. I kind of believe the guy. I think I do believe him.
But if that's...
Although I don't know.
Don't you go tell the police or TMZ and sell the story? Why are you telling Ashley Banfield on
Maybe
HLN?
He saw the story on CNN and was like, oh, that's that guy.
I know that guy.
Well, if you think about it, there are a lot of people who would love to pull this off. I mean, to fool CNN and say,
yeah.
Yes, I'm Chris Watts, gay lover of 10 months. And would just have such a blast.
Why don't we try to do it? Try and get on there.
I'm another one of his. We picked up in. Wait, when did these guys end?
January.
We started up in February. Went till May, and then Mark calls and said we started in May.
Or you could. Like,
you get a crossover.
That guy's such a liar. It was me.
I dated both of them.
Now supposedly there's a girl. Wait, is it a girl at work he's having an affair with? Do we know that?
That's what we heard, but once again...
just assumed that, right?
Nobody verified that. Somebody published that. I don't know if that was the theory.
How many irons does this dude have in the fire?
I know. God. By the way, how do you keep that girl's name, or whoever this person is, how do they keep that quiet? You know people at work must know. There must be a million people asking.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, come on, the police have to know.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think that would be so available, that information? And
yeah.
It's not. I've been looking for it.
Which maybe means it doesn't exist.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, otherwise, what is his motive?
Yeah, well,
I think being gay is a pretty strong motive.
Well, just wanting to be out of the marriage in general. But why kill
the kid? To kill his heterosexual self.
In his kids, yeah. Though?
Well, it's part of his heterosexual self. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying maybe that's what he was doing. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see that.
He doesn't seem to be a big on remorse.
No.
He couldn't even fake it when pleading for someone to let her go.
If he is gay, he doesn't have to hide it anymore.
That's true. He's in prison now. There's a lot of dudes in there.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem very upset.
I just don't understand. The killing the kids part just makes sense.
I know. It's really hard to fathom.
Killing a wife is bad enough. But I guess you could see a motive for that. But to kill the kids, that's nuts.
I cannot believe how many people, when a spouse is suddenly like, wow, she has no enemies or he has no enemies, and they're married or getting divorced, you know it's the other person. It always is. And they always nail them, and they're always using their phone to Google things, how to kill your husband, how to kill your wife. And nobody also seems to seem that everybody committing crime doesn't realize that there are cameras everywhere.
I know. That's amazing.
And that hitmen are always undercover police.
Yes.
Always.
Especially when the price is $5,000. It's always $5,000.
And when you're in prison, too, the person's always going to tell on you.
Oh, or they're always listening when you call home to say.
I know. That's incredible that people make phone calls from prison and forget that it's being recorded.
Speaking of cameras, I think I might have found the bottom of the barrel of people filming something with their cell phones.
What?
What did I say earlier? I might be the greatest ratio of phones to dumbest event I've ever seen being recorded.
That was it.
And it was the acceptance speech of the guy in Florida, the Tallahassee mayor.
Oh, come on. Really?
That won the Democratic primary for the governor election.
To become governor, yeah.
And he doesn't understand amplified sound.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that. I had
the Republican that won, by the way, his opponent. Wait, no, the Democrat. Wait. Is the Republican black? The Democrat's black.
That's
the Republican
guy I'm talking about.
Said that, hey, let's not monkey it up and elect that other guy or something to that effect.
Said that?
Yes, he did.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Doesn't Florida ever get tired of being that state?
No, they don't.
No.
Jeez.
Monkey it up. That's a funny. If it was talking about a white guy, I think it might be kind of funny.
Is that a phrase?
No.
I've never heard it.
That's putting two other phrases together.
Yeah, he's probably going to say fuck it up.
Or muck it up. Isn't muck it up?
Muck it up.
Screw it up. I mean.
Muck it up.
All right, here's the video, and I'll put a still picture on the site because I couldn't believe. Hey, the audio is hilarious.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What? Wow. No. And the speech has to be horribly boring.
And overmodulated.
The Florida governor's race. And in that race, a microcosm of national politics. Voters in both parties rejecting the establishment, looking for something new.
Are y'all ready to flip Florida blue?
Oh, my God.
Overnight, a major upset in Florida's.
So what did he say? You know what he said?
No idea.
In November, on the left, Tallahassee.
Are you ready to flip Florida blue?
In fact, progressive coming out on top over a favorite of the Democratic establishment.
I gotta tell you all, I am overwhelmed. There were just a few people.
I was gonna say just a few overmodulating.
Who said that this moment would not be possible?
Wow, how many phones?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
But how many people are there? It's like 9. There's like 2 phones per person.
They're like 4 hands in the picture.
It's incredible.
If I can go back one frame, because the lady next to him was filming too.
Wow.
Oh, how dreadful.
There's another shot.
Would someone dare show that to someone? Oh my God, you've got to see the acceptance speech.
Only 3 of the people had thought to make it letterbox.
That's right, Judy. I didn't even notice that.
Just a few people.
The rest have not gotten the message.
Possible. Gillum, the first black nominee for Florida governor for either party, now set to face off against
President. Get him a new microphone.
Some dolt was trying to zoom in.
This Republican's wife is hot, by the way. Too hot for him.
Build the wall. Was lagging in the polls just weeks ago, but that high-profile endorsement from the president ultimately put him over the top.
I'm not always the most popular guy in D.C., but I did have support from someone in Washington. If you walk down Pennsylvania Avenue, he lives in the White House with the pillars in front of it.
The president's already predicting...
Well, at least he knows how to use a microphone.
Oh, my God.
Believe in the
that
number.
Is... I'm stunned.
I wouldn't vote for him just based on that.
On the microphone?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a modulation?
Very petty.
By the way, when the interview was playing with the gay lover of Chris Watt, there was a story on Channel 4 about life lessons Aretha's taught her fans, and it was appeared to be the big story today.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T is one.
Yeah, no doubt. People were standing in line, and obviously they had heard more than one life lesson
that
Aretha taught them. Apparently. I don't know. It struck me as this is going to be a really dumb story.
Did you hear him say that she had diffused the 60s?
Yeah, she's getting a lot more civil rights discussion than I recall. Yeah. But I...
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
I don't
remember that.
I don't remember her really being very political, which is something I kind of like about her. She just does her thing, yeah, and she kills it. And mm-hmm. I don't know, am I missing something? Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Do you remember endorsing candidates and things?
No, but they seem to be saying that somehow musically she helped people deal with the combative 60s or
okay.
some kind of crap.
Well,
I don't
know. I'm glad she did. I'm not going to take it away from her. I just didn't really. It's not what I think of when I think of Aretha Franklin.
No.
But we have Robin Wilson coming up mm-hmm. in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. So might as well stay in the spirit of getting ahead of the show.
Yeah, and tell you about my Lincoln MKZ that I got at Hoop Machinery Star Lincoln.
That too.
It's a great time to buy or lease a Lincoln during Lincoln's summer sales event. If you're coming off a Ford or a Lincoln lease, you can save up to $5,000. If you're on an A or X plan, Conquest or Renewal buyer, they're great savings for you. On reserve package cars featuring great options like blind spot monitoring and navigation. As for the Lincoln Navigator, a J.D. Power study calls it the most appealing vehicle of 2018. It got the highest score in the last 6 years that they've seen. Drew and Mike listeners, all you need to do is call Jimmy D for all the particulars. He knows every car on the lot. He can break it all down for you and tell you what's going fast or how he can line up the perfect MKZ sedan or MKX SUV just for you. Call Jimmy at 855-567-STAR or email him at jimmyd@starlincoln.com. Lincoln is the star among American luxury cars, and that's why Hoot named the dealership just that. They've been Detroit's premier Lincoln dealership since Hoot opened it 50 years ago. I love my MKZ. You'll love yours. Or whatever Lincoln you get, just call Jimmy D and get on our team. 855-567-STAR.
All righty. And Robin Wilson coming up from the Gin Blossoms. Again, 5:30 Friday night, 7:30 for 38 Special. And then Everclear at 9:30. So we'll have talked to two-thirds of the Friday lineup.
Spread out.
And one-third of the Saturday lineup with Henry from the Spinners. Henry Farnbrough.
That's right.
So, yeah, and then we're there Saturday from 4 to 7, and hopefully you are too. And is Righteous Rick coming?
Oh, you know, he just texted me. I didn't even read it.
Seems like, I'm not sure he's the proper guest star.
He was there last year.
Was he?
He was.
Yeah, he was, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, I just read this text now. I'm going to read it verbatim. Yo. It starts with yo. Yo, I'll come up to Mesa on Saturday. I presume it's a bar. People ask, I'll come up there and start trouble, LOL.
All right.
He was very popular last year.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. And I felt bad that, you know, when he comes on, there's so much joking around. I think sometimes it doesn't come through that he is telling his story. It was a very complicated story. I don't think the media told it very well, so I understood how he felt. I don't know if it's the best idea to fight this guy, but...
Oh, the news they want a 2-minute story, and they're going to deliver a 2-minute story.
I read the newspaper version too, and it just didn't. When he explained it, it made a lot more sense because the way the story was told in the media, it just didn't. It sounded horrible, and when he told the story, first of all, I had no idea he was so into memorabilia.
I know, it's kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense as to why he was first in line when that studio closed up in Pontiac.
Yeah. Yeah. That didn't make any sense.
Hey, did you guys see the kerfuffle over the tennis chick?
Smart guy, that Rick.
Serena Williams?
No, the other one.
Oh, taking her shirt inside out?
Wardrobe, yeah.
Yes. Kerfuffle's a good word for it.
Which,
well, Serena Williams too, for her cat suit.
For the cat, yeah. I mean, there's
tennis, loosen up.
Tennis and women's clothing this week, but they made kind of a deal out of it because she, you know, she took her shirt off and delayed the game, but all the dudes are sitting around shirtless. Mm-hmm. And by
her
the way,
shirt was on backward.
Man spreading and kind of just like,
yeah. We run things.
I thought Federer was actually looking at his own unit, admiring himself.
It's too small.
I just have to say one thing. To pretend there's no difference between a man and a female tennis player taking their shirt off.
But she wasn't topless. She
wasn't nude. I saw it. I didn't think it was a big deal. She had a sports bra on that was so unsexy. I mean, I could not have. I would never be anywhere near 5'8" even. from that.
So what they were worried about, people would be
too hard.
I don't even think I would look. I don't even think it would occur to me to look at her because she had that sports bra. It wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
wasn't
more like
sexual.
No, not at all.
Just like Brandi Chastain was not sexual.
And I didn't think the Serena Williams outfit is pretty hot, I got to admit. But
yeah, no.
It's not enough to make me say, oh, my God, I can't watch this tennis match.
But
and she also had circulation issues.
It's
supposedly.
Also not enough to make you watch the tennis match either.
Neither one.
I like play tennis, but I'm not good in it.
I just thought she looked cool.
Yeah, no, it's pretty sweet. Did you see who else backed her? On Twitter,
Serena
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the former leader of Iran,
he did
tweeted about it. Yeah,
he did? What did he say?
He's been tweeting about sports. It's quite hilarious.
Wait, I thought he was dead.
Ahmadinejad? No, he just got Rouhani won the election.
Has he restyled himself and moved on from?
He's still got his members only.
Where does he get them?
Well, it's Iran.
Big just, warehouse of members only jackets.
I feel like some of
his handle is at Ahmadinejad 1956.
Look at him. He hasn't changed a bit.
Here's a picture. Had a busy day today, but I always make time for Twitter. It's a picture of him on Twitter.
What is he? I wonder what he does now. Not that I really care.
Husband, dad, grandfather, university professor, president, mayor, proud Iranian.
He's a mayor?
Yes. Oh. So he bitches about the U.S. and all that usual stuff, but there are some sports tweets in here. Why is the French Open disrespecting Serena Williams? Unfortunately, some people in all countries, including my country, haven't realized the true meaning of freedom. He's taking a shot at Iran.
Well,
wow. Maybe he's poising himself for a comeback, Kwame style.
Yeah, and then he tweeted something about some Iranian team doing something. I don't even know what sport.
Why he likes tennis so much. That's weird.
Is the concern over Serena Williams wearing her bat suit or not wearing it, is this really something we need to worry about? Is it really something that should be high up in the news?
No.
I don't think so. But they did discuss it a lot on the panel when they came out of the story.
On GMA?
Robin?
Back and forth.
That's why.
No, Robin wasn't there.
They love her on
Michael?
GMA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael's like,
because they know her.
Maybe she had it on backward. It'd be too restrictive. And so he actually gave what I thought was a real.
Oh, you mean the top?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They did talk
about the cat suit.
They did talk about the cat suit, though, in that story.
Yeah, they talked
out.
About that. Yeah. But, Savannah Guthrie acted like she was wetting her seat when she saw Federer, though. She was like,
do you want to hear another hot sports take from Ahmadinejad?
Sure.
Mr. Real Donald Trump. In my opinion, everyone, especially a president, should love all and not differentiate between them. I love King James, Michael Jordan, and Rauf Mahmoud, and all athletes, and wish them the best. Because remember, Trump tweeted about Jordan versus
LeBron,
and that's his response is, I love all athletes, I wish them the best.
Well, good for you.
Oh, fucking stupid.
He's a man of, he's just every man. We had it all wrong.
He's got 50,000 followers. He follows one person.
He only has 50,000 followers?
Yeah.
Hmm.
God, you'd think he'd have millions.
I don't know who this is that he follows. It's a bunch of squiggly lines.
Oh, yeah, I know. That always throws me. It's like, what is that?
It's weird. How do you?
It kind of freaks, his wife?
It sort of freaks me out.
It also looks like something scary, but it's just him talking about tennis.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, well.
I guess the thing with the tennis outfits, just to sort of wrap it up, it always gets connected to, you know, inequality, and it's just tennis, just the sport acting dumb.
Yeah.
Isn't it really?
Yeah.
Sure.
Is this really about some larger issue with women and inequality? No, it's not. These are women that make millions of dollars. They
it's
do
a
great.
Sport acting dumb.
It's a sport acting dumb.
The best way to put it.
But, you know, when they compare him to, look at this man with his shirt off.
Don't wear that outfit again.
Perfectly relaxed, taking a shirt off, and look at what this poor woman is going through. Oh, please.
That leads,
I liked seeing the tennis players with their shirt off.
I didn't think it was
That's
a big...
That's all I took away from the whole thing.
It's very human. They're hot.
It's very sexual for Trudy, but for us, when we see a woman taking off, not at all. It's a little role reversal.
It really was. It didn't do anything for me. Speaking of...
So that would not be on your forehead?
No, it would not be. It wouldn't make my forehead. No way. Robin should be calling in any second, by the way.
Yeah.
If he's calling us.
Yes.
So I was going to get into Louis C.K.
Oh, yeah.
One woman, I don't know if you saw her on GMA, because they, of course, had to cover it heavily.
Her name was Robin, too, right?
I don't know.
The one who complained about him among the many.
Yeah, it was.
Who had to see.
But it wasn't one that he beat off in front of, was it?
He made a
show.
Lewd comment. Yeah,
made a lewd comment. She thinks he should never work again.
I saw that, and I think that's dumb. You know what else bothers me about news now is they cover this story like social media is some mass statement on how people felt about this. Social media is a very unique, and Twitter is absurd. To suggest Twitter represents any group of people, to me, is insane.
Yep.
And I think a lot of the reaction was, however, on Louis C.K., it is sort of interesting, this idea that, well, what was his punishment exactly? And somebody said, he sat at home being a millionaire for a year.
Well,
understand what they're saying. He made one apology.
Yeah, probably the most honest apology.
He owned up to it. He didn't make any further money.
He lost his FX deal, his HBO deal, and his Netflix deal.
He also lost his manager, his publicist, and his agency because they all participated in shaming the people and saying they're lying about him doing this. There is a Lance Armstrong element to Louis C.K. that was really nasty. And
what is the proper punishment for?
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but
he's not charged with anything.
Apatow wanted him to come out and reference it in his material.
I think that was a huge mistake.
By the way, why does Judd Apatow want to talk about this? I don't know. Isn't it weird?
Because he has a Twitter
and a wife.
Oh, don't you wonder about some of these endless do-gooders who are constantly expressing judgment on these people?
Well, we got to hear about it because of social media.
Too many people talking. I mean, Judd Apatow is somebody, I want to put him in that box where I like his movies, and if he wants to talk about, he talks about a lot of political things. I don't really mind, but it's like, really? You want to talk about Louis C.K.? Really? You want to weigh in on that?
Louis is a comedian, though. It's another comedian talking about it.
I can't be sexist, okay? I am a father of two baby women. I mean, I think girls are so nice, I made them twice.
I guess I was surprised that Judd Apatow would be so heavy about it.
Yeah, I know. Maybe he's jealous of Louis' stand-up, though.
Well, he does seem to want to do stand-up
Judd's
really
stand-up
badly.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
Didn't go over that well.
Oh, I think we got...
Hey, Robin Wilson.
I think we have Robin Wilson
on the bat phone. On the Hall Financial Hotline.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Yes.
Click the link to find out how you can take money out of your home, how you can shorten the length of your loan, how you can buy a home with a little money down.
Do it in a jiff.
And the Gin Blossoms Friday night at Arts Beats and Eats right in downtown Royal Oak. Wristbands, by the way, available at Zot Ford.
Cool.
So there.
I'm going to take a few of those.
Hey, Robin.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Who am I talking to?
This is Drew. We got Mark and Trudy.
Hey, Robin.
All right. Hello. Hi, Trudy.
Hi. Welcome back to Detroit.
Well, thanks. Thanks. I'm looking forward to it. You know, actually, I'm getting packed up now. We've had a few weeks off, and now I got to get back to my real life and live out of my luggage for the next 5 weeks.
You were born here or grew up here for a short time, I guess? Is that true?
Yeah, my family has roots in Michigan. I was born in Detroit, and my family lived in Dearborn at the time. And but I've been in Arizona. We moved to Arizona in 1971, so that's where I grew up, and that was my youth experience and stuff. I didn't really see much of Michigan again until we grew up and had a band on tour.
Well, I started boning up. I, of course, remember the Gin Blossoms because we played you guys on WRAF a lot. And this morning I knew we were having you on, so I'm reading about Gin Blossom and looking at influences and stuff and going, well, this band, and I brought this up one time before with Marshall Crenshaw, you know, do you like the idea of being a power pop act or being labeled power pop? And he was like, no, I hate it. So I'm very being cautious about bringing it up, but you guys do land right smack in the middle of power pop world with Marshall and the Birds and R.E.M. and Big Star and the Smithereens and Badfinger, which I love myself, but does that label,
yes.
Do you like that or dislike that?
I just got a boner just hearing you say that. That was just awesome.
That is a great.
Hell yeah. No, I've always been, you know, that's the main kind of music that, you know, inspired us. You know, we all have very diverse tastes within the band, and those of us that write songs. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really have a problem with the power pop label. You know, I mean, we used to be called alternative, and I went on a thing where I tried to get people to say that we were the first post alternative band. I thought that was really funny, and some people actually took me seriously. And so you know, I, as far as labels go, you know, it's all rock and roll, you know.
Yeah, I've always liked the pop part of rock and roll, the melodic part, and I was trying to even go even further with, I don't know why I was thinking so hard, but I'm like, they're in the jangly guitar group, but they don't sound like the Birds, and we agreed that it's a different kind of jangly guitar, but anyway, and jangly guitars, how did that fight through grunge? It's kind of an interesting space you guys took.
Well, you know, we weren't ever consciously trying to follow any particular trend or anything. We always just did what came naturally to us. And, you know, the bands that we wanted to sound like are the ones that you just described, you know. When I joined Gin Blossom, I think the thing I was listening to the most in those days was Cheap Trick. When I would bring in songs, I would reference Cheap Trick as to how we were arranging the song, and I would literally just lift intros or bridge ideas and stuff from Cheap Trick songs. And I always kind of thought that we were, in those days, I used to say that we are what it would sound like if Cheap Trick and the Church got into, like, both of their tour buses collided, then it would sound like the Gin Blossom. So, you know, I don't think the Church gets quite enough credit for having inspired us. We were, especially in the early days of the band, we were all very much into the Church, and it was certainly one of Doug Hopkins' main inspirations for songs like Found Out About You and Lost Horizons. You can trace the guitar DNA right back to the Church on a lot of that stuff, so...
I was reading about you were talking about your, this is an interview from probably 2006, so you probably don't remember this, but you were talking about your dad's 45 collection, how he put 10 songs, 45, I think it was 45s on, and just let them go down one after the other and turn them over. And you said, you said they
let your love flow like a mountain stream and let your love go. Yeah.
The Bellamy Brothers.
You bet.
I wasn't picturing the Bellamy Brothers to be in that stack, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they were. They certainly were. You know, at least by the 70s, they were. You know. I'm sorry. What was your question?
Well, I was wondering what songs they were.
Well, definitely the Bellamy Brothers. And let's see, "My Ding-a-ling" by Chuck Berry.
Oh.
And then I'm trying to remember the rest of the singles. You know, there was music playing like the Beach Boys, Dion and the Belmont. Buddy Holly, those were the things I remember being the most significant and certainly the coolest stuff that my dad listened to. And my dad wasn't what you would consider a cool guy by any stretch, but he did have some of this really cool music. And it was only like novelty songs like the Bellamy Brothers that would sort of occasionally crack through his in his collection. But for the most part, he kind of stopped buying music in like 1965.
That's it. The same stuff.
Right. But, you know, I definitely remember, you know, Buddy Holly, Dion and the Belmonts, the Beach Boys, and also an artist named Gary U.S. Bond. Oh, yeah. He had a couple of those songs. And, you know, so Chord of the Three and New Orleans are a couple of my favorite oldies tracks, and I got a pretty good oldies playlist on my iPod. It's pretty good. Yeah.
I love Dion. You know? Your dad did better than my dad. Big Ten marching records were his favorite. I swear to God, Big Ten marching records.
Mine was AM Static. Yeah. I feel like he was just listening to the AM Static all the time.
Mine was the Ventures.
Yeah. The Ventures were cool.
Yeah. Totally into the Ventures.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, my dad had the Ventures records too. Yeah, I remember there was like a really sexy girl on one of those album covers.
Oh, yeah. And Herb Albert, too, with the chick and the whipped cream.
My dad had that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Speaking of past bands, I was looking at the set list for the most recent tours, and there's covers. We saw that you covered Wild Horses, a deep Tom Petty song.
Yeah.
But I also saw that you cover a Backstreet Boys song on a few shows. What's the story behind that?
Well, you know, I love that song.
I Want It That Way.
I want it that way, and the first time I ever heard it, early when it was a hit, I remember thinking this is such a great song, and you could play it on an acoustic guitar, and it would still be a great song. And so that's actually always been since then. That's how I judge music, is I try to imagine can it be played on an acoustic guitar with one person, and is it still a great song? And if so, then it's a great song, regardless of the production or the style of music.
So the band doesn't. You don't drop your instruments and all choreograph a dance. Then.
No, not at all. And, that was one I would take the stage by myself and do that do that Backstreet Boys song all by myself. And occasionally, like if it starts raining and the crowd has to go away, sometimes I'll break out an acoustic and do something by myself. But the band doesn't always want to indulge me in they're more often than not, they go along with it. But I try not to push it, you know. Jim Blossoms is a complicated brew of personalities. And we're a real band in the sense that everyone has an equal voice. And so, I'm constantly reminded that I'm not in charge. And, we'll meet other bands on tour and they'll say, oh, you're the main guy, or you're the one that is, you know, and I have to go, don't say that shit around my bandmates. You know, they don't want to hear anybody saying I'm the main guy, you know? And, that's part of being in a real band. You have to compromise for the greater good. And, regardless of how I end up doing way more work than any of them, still, I don't get another vote.
That probably explains the breakup and then getting back together and then years between albums, I would assume, right?
Well, sure. You know, when you're young and you kind of think you're going to be able to start over, and you don't really, realize the power of a brand name, having established Jim Blossoms. We really didn't understand, how difficult that is to do, to have a recognizable logo and a brand name and songs that people know. It's really hard to pull off. And, in the heat of the moment and in, in your youthful mind, you think it's possible to start over again. And, so that's what I did. I tried to start another band, and the whole time I was in my other band, people were shouting for Jim Blossom songs. And it was very aggravating because a guy I respect is David Lowery of Cracker.
Yeah.
And he had left Camper Van Beethoven and established Cracker as his band. And I thought, well, I should be able to do that too. And, I wasn't. So, when we reformed, it was with the understanding that it's a privilege to be in a band that people care about. And it's something that needs to be nurtured. And our bass player, Bill, put it best that everyone in the band is allowed to have their own Jim Blossoms experience. And believe me, we are each having our own individual Jim Blossoms experience. And it's funny, that we're talking about this because I just got off the phone. I've got so many grenades in the air, but I among them is I'm working with the Smithereens, doing shows as lead singer for the Smithereens.
Oh, cool.
And so right now I'm trying to book both bands, and it's really complicated. And, you know, I just got a call from my agent, and they're concerned about how it's being branded. And there were some Smithereens dates in the same markets that we were about to book Jim Blossom's winter tour. And, you know, it's not as simple as just going, hey, I'm a rock singer, I'll do shows with you, you know. It ends up involving all of these other people and all these other livelihoods. So, anyway, that being said, I got to say it's a thrill singing lead for the Smithereens.
Yeah,
every band you're bringing up, I'm getting excited about. Camper Van Beethoven, I loved. Cracker was great. Yeah. I love the Smithereens. I'm sorry, Trudy, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, if that's kind of the thing where you're in both bands, do you like being on tours that end up like these little, you know, festivals or those mega festivals where there's a million artists? Is it sort of like a family reunion for all you guys because you all knew each other in the 90s or interconnected?
Well, you know, I'll say that just about any gig is fun. I really enjoyed playing. My bandmates and I were performing really well, and we are enjoying performing. So I don't have a particularly one specific kind of show that's my favorite to do. I love them all. But that being said, I prefer being out on a bus as opposed to flying around and flying in and doing weekend shows. That's not a lot of fun. And this coming weekend is actually going to be sort of hellacious for us because I'm flying into Detroit on Thursday. I guess we're playing there Friday night. Is that correct?
5:30.
Okay. And then on Saturday, I got to fly all the way to the Bahamas and do an acoustic show that night.
Oh, bummer.
What a terrible problem.
Well,
it's a long way to go.
So, yeah, true.
But it's going to take 3 flights. And it's going to take all day, and then we're going to have, you know, 1 or 2 hours before the show. Oof. And then we have to get up at the crack of dawn the next morning and do that all over again, another 3 flights. So, you know, in the 2-day period, you know, I'm probably going to spend at least 24 hours of that at airports or on airplanes.
Oh.
And that isn't particularly fun.
Can't you get your guitar out and do an acoustic set in the little waiting areas?
I have been known to do that, but I usually have to be in like a third world airport to really want to play that. I don't feel like doing that in Atlanta, you know, it's when I'm in Nepal. I'm like, all right, I'm going to sing to these dudes. You know?
Hey, Robin, you mentioned, like, thinking about starting over and when you broke up and how easy that would be or hard it would be. What was it like the infamous story of recording New Miserable Experience, huge album, hit album, but terrible experience because of Doug, and you had to fire Doug. What was it like putting that album out and firing him?
Well, it's just about the hardest thing I've ever been a part of, you know. It was difficult to lose our leader in the middle of the recording session. It was terrible to watch my friend, just dissolving before your eyes and not being able to like step up and like really be a leader when we needed him. Those were incredibly hard times and very uncertain. We didn't know when the record was done. We had no idea whether or not we would get dropped or whether or not the album would ever come out. And we knew we had done something really special, and I was really confident in the quality of the record, but there was total uncertainty as to whether or not anyone was ever going to hear it. And so to be able to salvage the band, and when it was released in October of 92, we went out on tour with Toad the Wet Sprocket right out of the box, and it was a relief to know that we could keep it together and begin to, be a part of the national scene. And that all really started to fall together during that fall, you know. But again, to get back to your question, it was hard, you know. It's nothing more difficult than, nobody ever wants to fire somebody that's in the band, you know, especially someone who contributed so much like Doug Hopkins did. You know, he was the front man in a lot of ways, you know. I was the Brian Johnson to his Angus Young. Mm. You know, he was the main attraction on stage. And, you know, having, you know, to fill that void was terrifying. Actually, at first, I wanted to continue on as a four-piece with me playing rhythm guitar, but I was outvoted by my bandmates. They wanted to bring in another guy. Yeah. We got Scotty Johnson, and Scotty's been in the band since then, and he's a huge part of the group and our partnership. And, you know, we're lucky to have him.
And yeah. Doug, of course, terrible ending, committed suicide in December of 93. When you guys are on tour and, you know, you just got over that hard thing of firing him and you seem to be hitting a groove, like you just said, touring, did you have much contact with him? Did you know how sick he was?
Well, I knew how sick he was. You know, all my friends back home were telling me the story. And I didn't have tons of contact with him, but I did see him at least like four or five times. Once we were on tour all the time, and I got home to Tempe, and I went back to the club we used to play at, and he showed up and he slugged me. He wow. cold cocked me right in the middle of the bar.
Oh boy!
And just was shrieking, you know, at me, just standing above me while I'm on the floor and just yelling, "You coattail riding son of a bitch!" And you know, just he really played it up. And he painted me as a villain in our hometown. And so a lot of people, you know, around him sort of turned on me and kind of thought I was the driving force to, you know, to get rid of him and rip him off. And, you know, the fact is that there was so much stuff, so much information I had that I just didn't feel like I wanted to share with people about the whole experience, you know, things that wouldn't have painted Doug in a really good light. And so I allowed myself to be painted as the villain. And that, you know, added a whole other layer to everything else that was going on in our lives. You know, it's hard enough just to be in a successful band that's taken off and really, really active. And, you know, aside from what was happening with Doug, there was so much going on in the van that, you know, those are tough, tough times. Complicated with your, you know, your friend's, you know, situation and Doug's suicide. It was the darkest time of my life, you know, and we're really lucky we survived it all. But, you know, all of that being said, I've thought a lot about our new album, and I really think it's something that Doug would have been proud of. And I think that if there was some way, if he was still around, he'd be proud of us. He would like the record. It's a record that he would have wanted to play on. He was very competitive as a songwriter, and he didn't really much like playing my songs. But I think he would really like the material that I turned in for this album.
Is that mixed reality?
Yeah, that's our new album. I'm actually right now about to watch the final edit for a new video. For one of the songs, it's called "Face the Dark," and that's a song that I think about Doug a lot. I think it's kind of a song for Doug or about Doug, or somehow I feel like I kind of channeled a little bit of his spirit when I wrote the song, and I'm really proud of it. And right now, I'm working on the video.
I know it's got to be a bitch to have a new album and not have a giant record company spending a lot of money promoting it, but you don't...
You have no idea.
How many copies do you need to sell of a new record to make it worthwhile for you guys to, you know... What is that?
Well,
what's that number?
We don't need to... You don't sell records anymore, you know?
Or downloads.
I'm surprised how few records we are selling. You know, the new album has been very well received, and I know I can see people reacting to the songs that we're playing live. But you know, it's just not a part of the world now to sell a lot of records. And so, to answer your question, if we sold 50,000 records, that would be a smash success by today's standards. That would be the equivalent of like a platinum record 25 years ago.
And you sold four million copies of the first record, right?
Right, to date, yeah. It was, you know, it's one of those things people still buy it. So it's creeped up to to 4 million copies sold. And, you know, that's a pretty amazing thing to be able to say, oh yeah, we're quadruple platinum, you know. And in the last few years, the only record to go double platinum was Taylor Swift. She's the only artist on the planet that's gone double platinum in the last few years. And it just is symbolic of how things have changed, you know. Why buy it when it's all on YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm discovering that, too. And, you know, not only is our album on YouTube, like the day it came out, somebody created a YouTube channel with our entire new album on it. We didn't even get a chance to do that ourselves. But not only that, virtually every song I've ever written, demos that I don't even have anymore, it's all there on YouTube. It's pretty crazy.
A couple of weeks ago,
I went through a phase where I re-listened to all of these classic Jim Blossoms tracks that I hadn't heard in, you know, 25 years, and demos that I recorded in my bedroom, and they're all there on the internet. Crazy. So if you want to hear some cool Robin Wilson and Doug Hopkins moments, there's some great analog, you know, demos that he and I did in my bedroom, and they're all there on YouTube. It's pretty great.
Huh. Wow. Do you have a favorite? Because maybe we'll just spin one up when we let you go.
Well, it probably is going to sound like crap.
we're used to that.
You know, these are copies of copies of copies that are on YouTube. But Doug and I did a batch of songs together. One of them was called I'm Still Wondering Where Those Bastards Are. And it's a song that we came up with. Well, Doug wrote it, and I chipped in a few lyrics, but we wrote it while waiting for the band to show up at a gig in Flagstaff. Apparently, their van broke down, and Doug and I were the only guys in Flagstaff, and, you know, we were waiting all night long for them to show up, and Doug came up with this great song, I'm Still Wondering Where Those Bastards Are. So
it's
a pretty great moment, yeah.
Well, we'll look forward to you. It's a good gig, by the way. Arts, Beats, and Eats. You'll have a nice crowd Friday night in Royal Oak. It's outside. I mean, I know you've done 2,000 probably shows, but I think you'll have a good time, and I know you love to sing. So we'll look forward to seeing you there. And thank you so much for your time, man. It's great to talk to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time, Drew and Mark and Trudy. Thank you for having us on. And, you know, Jim Blossom's really grateful that people in radio still know who we are. So thank you for helping promote the show. And, if you guys have any influence at all, you know, try and get your PD to listen to our new album.
We will. Thank you, Doug. Or Robin.
Thanks, Robin.
Ooh. You're very welcome. You guys have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm still wondering
where those bastards are. Thought he wasn't as bad as he quiet it would be.
No, it's not that bad. A
little trebly. The band was told to start at 9, and now it's
10:15. We don't get set. Sounds more country than anything.
I noticed some of their songs sort of trended that way.
Country,
I hear it.
They're at the beginning, maybe, of that crossover thing happening with country.
Yeah. In the early 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the PD
Chris Gaines?
You're the PD.
Chris Gaines.
The Chris Gaines crossover.
As the PD, I'm all for playing Gin Blossoms.
Ah, cool.
You know, it's funny. I wonder what it's got to be so hard to get airplay, which is so crazy. I was thinking about this as I'm reading about him. Like, wow, how much of his, and he's not that old. Gin Blossoms were a '90s band, so you know it's been 23, 24 years, 25 years since the first record. They were young guys then. And, you know, he worked in record stores, which are gone. There's no record stores.
Right.
He was talking about 45s and records. They're all gone. CDs are gone. And when I first got into music, it was really hard to have a hit if you were 35 or 40. It's probably harder now.
Mm. Yeah.
Because to get all those spins on YouTube and all that online action, it seems like it's the young bands and their young fans.
Yeah, it's the K-pop.
I know.
They set a record, that K-pop group.
Oh, did they?
The most, I think Taylor Swift had the most views in 24 hours when she had a new video out, and then they put one out and it got 45 million views.
The Korean
Yes.
South Korean
the
band.
And it is the worst song. You want to hear it?
Sure. I'm all about things that are terrible.
You're the program director, so we can play this?
Yeah. I got to think of what the name of that silly band is. I was watching it. It's in half English and half Korean.
Oh, I love that.
And there's a lot of dancing.
They translate the song in mid song?
They have captions on it.
Oh, it's a good sing-along song.
Oh, where the hell is this?
It was interesting reading this interview that Robin gave in 2006, and he's talking about their MySpace followers.
Oh, yeah.
Which seems so funny to read. And, I mean, so fast it changes. And he said, we got 30,000 MySpace followers. And he was talking about this other younger band they were playing with. He's like, they've got 75,000 MySpace followers. They just started. And he was saying that, you know, that was sort of the number. If you could sell an album to all your MySpace followers, which you probably could, you could do okay. But, you know, as far as the difference between 2006 even and when they started out in 89, 90, 91, it was just a world of difference because you don't have anybody promoting you. You don't have that record company promotion budget. I don't know. The internet really fucked musicians.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but it did help some. I mean, some were found, like Bieber.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Thank God.
That's such a relief. I feel so much better.
What? What are you talking about? Psy and Gangnam Style? I mean, that was big for him. Wouldn't have happened without the internet.
That's true.
But you know what? Even those guys would make more money if they were selling records.
Look at these handsome men. Yes, they are men, by the way.
I guess I don't understand how Spotify and these streaming services
get away with
what they're paying these guys. It's just bullshit. Tell me they're not making billions.
I think the thing with K-pop, are the guys supposed to be androgynous?
Yeah, I was thinking they look like they're wearing girl clothes.
Yeah.
Maybe they're non-binary.
They're bringing back Bowie. A very egotistical song. It's called Idol. This is what the kids like.
You know, somebody was carrying I don't know what it was down the street last night. I was walking the dogs about 8:30. Somebody was carrying, I don't know if it was a boom box or what it was, or a mini boom box. But he wasn't listening to headphones.
Oh,
which is unusual.
Yeah, you
now.
Never hear that.
I know, I kind of missed that loud. I mean, even though we made fun of it, nobody really blasts music anywhere.
Well, the guy trimming trees in our neighborhood was for like 3 solid days, and I was like,
"Oh, was he? What was he playing?
What?
BTS.
He's playing Riff.
Oh, was he?
And then, he segued to country. So I don't know why he changed, but it was weird though that nobody in the neighborhood, you know, like. Did anything, you know, because you'd say,
I know.
Well, it wasn't going to be me.
He's working.
But nobody makes that kind of noise anymore.
No, not really. Headphones. But this guy walking down the street, I don't know what he had, something in his hand. I don't know what it was. But anyway, it was a rap song. And it was like, I probably heard 4 or 5 N-words, a few hoes and fuck yous and, you know, stuff like that. It was like, wow, that's, I don't know if that's something I would play without headphones, but whatever.
Hmm.
So when the Smithereens come to town, should I book another?
Book him again.
Yeah, book him again. He's a great interview. I thought he's a really good interview.
I know. I didn't know how to get into the Doug stuff, but it's utterly that story is so sad yet fascinating.
I know.
He was just a mess. The recording of this album that became a huge hit. He couldn't stand up when they were recording it, so they had to fire him and send him home.
And he's depressed, wildly depressed.
Yeah, he had mental issues, and then
he's like Sid from Pink Floyd.
Yeah, I think he's
mind.
Not that.
I
yeah,
he still had his creativity.
I think it's different mental issues.
But he, you know
he
what,
was an alcoholic too,
terrible one.
But they sent him the gold record when it went gold, and he hung it up for 2 weeks, and then destroyed it. Checked himself into a mental hospital, and then just snuck out, bought a gun, and killed himself.
Well, the obvious thing, which I don't think people think about when they're that young, is that when you have this seminal member who's really the, you know, founder, leader, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the fact that he was a big part of the story in the early years is like, oh, and they're doing it without him.
Yeah,
it certainly seems like when they're flagging, the obvious thing is we bring him back, and it sort of restores.
Bring him back.
You could almost see that at that time, but I, you know, he probably couldn't see much of anything. But some of the band members said that they really wished they could have done like a Brian Wilson thing with him, where he just stayed home, they hit the road and played, and they used his creativity to keep him in the band in a way. Like, Brian Wilson did not tour with the Beach Boys.
No, but he could record.
Yeah, he could record.
It's not like Doug could record.
He could write songs. Well, Brian Wilson was a genius. I mean, he wrote incredible songs. He was an incredible producer. Although his productivity did wane at times. I don't know what this guy, if he was anywhere near, I don't think he was that level of a talent, but he was certainly a great talent.
Did he really have a sandbox? Or was that just
he did.
Legend?
Yeah. He did. He really did. I think it was more of a joke, though. I don't think it was. I think it's sort of suggested that, you know, this freaky Beach Boy had a sandbox because he wanted a sandbox. I think it was more like a sort of a play on who he was.
Like,
I don't know.
And now it's a Zen garden?
Maybe.
I love Pet Sounds. It's such a great album.
Yeah, that was, I think, I don't know if the Beach Boys really get the credit they do for pushing pop music forward.
Oh, because all people think of as the surfing songs.
Right. Yeah. Fun, fun, fun. They don't think of Good Vibrations. You know, yesterday I mentioned that Do It Again, which came up because it was number one in the UK. That was a great song. It's a perfect pop song, I think. One of the better Beach Boys songs, and you don't hear it that much.
Do It Again?
Do It Again,
I don't
yeah.
I know that.
Brian sings it, I know, in his live show, and Mike Love sang it. They did it on TV. It might
did
have
they
been...
sing it at the Little League World Series?
Probably. They
See,
might
that's,
have.
That's the
know.
Problem with the Beach Boys. That's what you think now. Is
I know.
A little giggling. Like, and...
I guess I don't really understand why they, you know, there were two Beach Boys going around. There was the, what's the guy's name? There you go.
Mike Love.
Mike Love's Beach Boys, and then I was trying to think, Brian Jardine's Beach Boys, maybe?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Al Jardine.
Al Jardine.
So wasn't he blown out first?
Was he blown out of the original band?
I thought there was some battle with him. Maybe it was just over the two bands.
There was a time not too long ago, and it's probably within the 1 to 15 that I can't keep track of, where they literally had like four original members back in the band, except Bruce Johnston had died, I think, and Brian wasn't in it. But there were four other guys, and Brian even was recording, I think, a little bit. It still sounds like the Beach Boys, but a little more updated.
Well, when they have a lot more production.
Yeah. I've noticed, does everyone hate the song Kokomo, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah. And somebody recently was on like their seventh cruise, going on their seventh cruise.
With the Beach Boys?
It wasn't with the Beach Boys, but those are the songs. There are cruise ship songs. Is that yacht rock or are they two
probably.
Different genres?
It should be. Kokomo, when I think of Kokomo, I think of the movie Cocktail.
Yeah.
Cool song.
I thought it was one of the best Beach Boys songs, and you don't hear it that much.
Huh.
Was Sail on Sailor, that was a hit in the 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Coming in shrill, we're missing all of those. El Biron on Mike, we missed it all, okay?
You're just the real genius behind the band.
Brian, you got a wonderful tune here. I'm sorry to yell. Al, loosen up a little more. I'll say sexy Rhonda Moore. Rhonda Moore, soft and sexy. Brian, have the guys soft loosen up. You got a beautiful tune here. Loosen up. You're so tight, fellas, I can't believe it.
All right, put your overdub on now. Here we go.
Those are the words.
No, listen, syncopate a little. What are the words?
I don't know. Sing it. Since you put me down, I've been out doing it in my head.
Show him how to do it just once, Dad.
Sing it.
Since you put me down.
No. Since you put me down, boo-dee-dee-ba-ba-dee-dee-ba-dee-da. Go on, call that kid.
Since you put me down.
No.
Since you put me down.
No, you're since you put me down, baby, ba-ba-doo-dee-da-doo-da-da.
I'll sing with it. Let him sing it once.
You want me to leave, Brian?
No, I just wanted you to let him sing it.
Mother and I can leave now.
Here we go. Duplicated like last time, huh?
When you sing Rhonda, make it sexy and soft. Rhonda, you look so fine, okay?
We're all laughing in the background.
Look so fine. Take much time.
you to help me run, to help me get her out of my heart.
Help me run, the bank syncopate. Brian, your voice is shrilling through everybody. Carl, we can't hear Carl. We can hear Dennis, but we can't hear Mike. We can't hear Mike, and we can hardly hear Al.
Okay, now wait a second.
Me?
Can we hear a chord? Just a chord like we used to when you used to sing Clear records, okay? Let's go. Brian, I'm a genius too. Let's go, huh?
One, two, three.
She was gonna be my wife.
Genius.
But she let another guy.
What a dick.
I know, you know, in the unedited version, you can hear Brian making fun of him on the microphone a lot. And it's really funny. He's so sarcastic. He's so sick of his dad.
It's like he went on to coach David Lee Roth then.
Oh, boy.
That Atlantic Records article is pretty wild.
Were you going through
the new book?
Yeah.
You know, why don't you read some of that? Because that you know what's weird about that story? It's this secretary, right? That's writing it.
Dorothy Curvello.
And she's telling sort of the inside, the grimy story of what went on in the home offices of Atlantic Records. And she had a lot of contact with a lot of the big people like Ahmet Ertegun, who Ahmet Ertegun is credited with discovering all of these artists. No, Kid Rock and Ahmet Ertegun.
Ray Charles.
Yeah, going back to Ray Charles, but I mean like Led Zeppelin. And I mean, he's friends with all of those artists. And he was a real smooth guy. And he smoothed over a lot of crap and kept a lot of people on the label. And when Atlantic Records did their, was it their 40th anniversary when Zeppelin reunited?
Yeah.
A lot of those bands that played there did it because they loved Ahmet Ertegun.
Right.
And in her story, it sounds like Ahmet Ertegun was an animal. And he was always presented as this incredible executive, always immaculately dressed. But I did notice that he was backstage an awful lot. Ooh. And he was at a lot of events, and he seemed to show up at a lot of band parties, things like that. It sounds like he was an animal!
Wow. Maybe they respected him so much because he could do how many vodkas and tonics?
14 shots a night.
And three lines of blow. And
I think it was four lines. Two joints.
Two joints, yeah.
And a few girls.
And the ladies. So he had it all. He was perfect for the industry. And she said the office was decorated with dildos as decoration.
Oh, yeah, they're great decorations.
Well, if you have enough of them, you can create, you know, it's like Legos if you put them together.
Well, like a sun.
Make other things out of penises.
Sort of like CBS Sunday Morning does.
It's a cute idea.
Yeah. And then he would have to, the following day, clean his own vomit out of his.
Vomit.
Out of his vomits. Vomit. And call the clubs to find out where he left his cards.
Wow.
Man, what a rocker.
What did she say about the 3 a.m. phone calls from him?
Oh, she would get 3 a.m. phone calls from Ertegun demanding, get me a vodka, get me a stripper, get me a hooker. She was an A&R. Like, she was...
Yeah, but she's
abroad. Not the secretary, right?
Nah, she is now. They're all secretaries to Ahmet.
Other men in the office called...
respectful.
Called her what poo? What is it? CC?
I didn't know what that meant.
I didn't either.
I did the same thing.
Wait, what's the word?
It's C asterisk 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 C asterisk asterisk asterisk.
Wait.
Poo. Kook.
Cunt.
Cocksucker?
Cunt poo? Wait, that doesn't even have a ring to it.
I'm not
sure about that one.
Cunt poo?
That's not a nickname. And blowjob was there.
What?
That was not a good nickname.
Blowjob, that's not very creative.
No. Let's see. One of the promotion executives in Atlantic decorated his office with dildos, S&M harnesses, ball gags, masks, lube, and a cat of nine tails. Nice. Oh, it looked like the Pink Pussycat Boutique sex shop, she said.
Well,
she know.
Yeah. These guys would take young girls young enough to be their daughters without thinking twice. Ahmet took great pride in it. He was like the Turkish Sultan offering his concubines.
Yeah, and he was supposedly happily married for like 60 years or something like that, if I remember correctly.
Oh.
I believe.
Wow.
But, hey, you know, like your business.
Last night, I went to a concert, he wrote. Afterward, I went backstage with the lead singer. He had five girls lined up naked, and we took turns.
She's really cute.
I don't even know if I believe that.
Let's get her on.
He's boasting? He could do it, though. He had the power to.
Well, that's what I was questioning.
Really?
After all that, coke and all those shots.
Oh.
I mean, he didn't have Cialis.
Permanent refractive.
Yeah. If he ever got to the refractive stage.
Wow.
I mean, I'm thinking he's pretty 5/8 after all that.
So
14
do people,
shots a night.
Do people still revere him?
Yes. Or? Yeah, definitely. Oh, he's a legend in the music business.
Yeah.
Well, I know he was. Is this going to hurt him in any way?
Or people I don't know. It might help him.
Yeah, he was wild. Hey, he was with Diddy in his picture.
He's dead, isn't he?
Yeah. He died in 2006.
But he was an old guy. I mean, he was. Yeah. I didn't want to say he was like 80 when he died. And I know Kid Rock hung out with him, and he loved him.
Yeah.
So he was still
in one of his
around.
Songs.
Let's get this.
That's
book.
Right.
Is Kid the only person who mentioned him in a song lyrically?
I don't know.
I don't think he got a ton of mentions, honestly. I mean, Ahmet Erdogan, that's pretty hard to work into a song.
It is.
Ahmet Erdogan, Murray Wilson could do it. It's like stuck in my head.
While you were reading that, by the way, I was looking at the Daily Mail headline, Rose McGowan's non-binary model lover speaks out after leaking texts where Aja Argento admitted sleeping with an underage actor when he was 17 and she was 37. That's a long headline, by the way.
What did they say?
I know. I can't get over that. How can you call one person
they? Yeah.
And
isn't there a mixture of he or she if you're non-binary? Like
there ought to be, some
C,
other.
C, just drop the H. S-E-C.
It's just a thought. Rain Dove, who neither prescribes to being male or female, is the person whose text without Argento revealed Jimmy Bennett, blah, blah, blah. So that. Okay. Speaking of interview, Dove insisted it was not them who gave TMZ the text, but admits handing them over to police.
That's a great name.
Miles said they had no choice after watching Argento deny what they knew to be true. I was not the person who leaked them to TMZ. I just wanted them to be part of the legal process going forward. When it became apparent, it's kind of, would you turn over texts if one of your girlfriends slept with a 17-year-old dude?
No.
Trudy has a little Maz in her.
He's not giving up a guy who murdered somebody. It's different.
It is different. I agree. Yeah, actually 17 in Michigan, I think, is of age.
I think she was creepy.
Yeah. I don't know, this just sounds, some of these people sound, I'm getting back to, who was judging Louis C.K.?
Judd Apatow.
I like Judd Apatow, and he can do whatever he wants. I feel he seems so heavy lately. I just didn't expect to hear him talking about Louis C.K. and he hasn't done enough, and I don't know.
Can't we just all let the market decide, like, if people will buy his tickets instead of everybody having to prejudge?
Instead of Twitter deciding? No, that's a great point.
I really thought that reaction that they were referring to was social media. They weren't really... I didn't hear people getting all bent out of shape.
Right,
I
mean, the news
talked. If we talked amongst ourselves or we talked to other people we know are fans of his, they'd probably say, I'd probably want to see him do his stand-up if he was doing it.
I'd go see him. Sorry. I think what he did was terrible and he's creep. And it's
weird. I'd look away if he was going to do it again.
But I would go see him do stand-up.
I really thought the Lance Armstrong part was maybe as bad as the other part, making it sound like these people are crazy, making things up about him. I mean, I'm sort of grappling with, Jesus, how big an asshole is he? Sounds like a pretty major asshole.
Sure.
So I don't know how I view his material. It almost seems like sometimes his material had such a huge edge that it was like, well, I like him, so I don't mind him saying that. But
well, if it's funny.
Yeah, it was. Sorry. It was very edgy, and that's why it was funny.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to cause him some more problems. But the ultimate complaint was that Louis C.K. and I'm not subscribing to this at all. I thought this was kind of stupid. Was that he marginalized all these people by using his power and bringing his penis out and masturbating in front of comics who looked up to him because they had to.
How dare you?
And I do understand how weird and awkward that would be for a female comic. I mean, it's like you look up to this guy. You're hoping to gain some knowledge from him. He seems like he wants to impart that, and he really just wants to beat off in front of you.
Oh, weird.
I mean, that sucks.
Does it bum him out if you look away, though?
Yeah, I think it does. He did it on the phone to people, too.
Oh, that's
really, you can't prove that.
No, that's true. It's really, Gross. It's so weird.
It is bizarre.
And so they were comparing that to him appearing at this comedy club without the audience's permission.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They were subjected to him.
They were subjected to him.
They were triggered.
They hadn't been, they had not accepted his apology yet. And I thought, are you fucking kidding me? They gave him a standing ovation, which I thought was also stupid, that he would get a standing ovation. Yeah. Although I don't know if the audience is really thinking about that. They're probably just going, hey, it's Louis C.K.
Exactly.
So I don't know. All this analysis and all these leaps that are made make me crazy.
That's all the Today Show was. I noticed that partway through watching it today, skimming it. It always is.
Taking
to
leaps.
To a degree, but it would know, but it was all about this social media exploded when this happened.
Yeah,
social media exploded
I know.
When this.
Is that really a real representation of what's going
Prince
on?
Jackson.
Yeah. And I mean, no, you're right. I just sort of crave some actual news, but.
They could have had Robin Wilson on.
Yeah.
From the Gin Blossom. No, I'm kidding.
They could cover the Cleet Keller story out of Colorado.
Oh.
Yeah. I meant to get back to that.
Whereas the guy on directory assistance and I was trying to track him down called him Clit Keller. Trudy's laughing because I just kept saying, it's Cleet, but that's fine.
That's a great name.
I could not find listing for Cleet Keller. It's Cleet, but you can call him Clit, whatever.
I mentioned Brandon's in the house now.
Oh, I've been here the whole time.
Hey.
How's it going?
Just seeing in.
It's going really well, thank you.
Did you see the Twitter poll?
I assume that my fantasy football draft won.
No, it got 21% of the vote, though.
That's not bad.
And there were some adamant comments that you should be at your fantasy football draft, but 49% felt you should be at Mesa.
I'm going to try to do both.
Fake!
14% felt you should be working on the baby's room.
Yeah.
What you would
that
That's what I voted for.
My wife.
Can't the fantasy football people meet at Mesa?
Oh. Hey. Well, there you go.
It's a pretty big operation.
It's upstairs.
We could work on the crib at Mesa, too. We could put it together there.
And you could take pictures of it all while we're doing it.
I do got to build that sumbitch.
What do you have to do in the nursery? I know you're painting Friday.
We're painting tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And then...
What are you doing Friday?
Friday, I got a... I got a birthday party.
What?
Yeah.
How old's this kid?
one's 35 and the other's 35. Yeah. Okay. But it's
35-year-olds have birthday parties still? It's like John Gosselin throwing himself that 40-year-old birthday party.
It's a barbecue.
You know, there are certain people, and I'm not saying this about Brandon's 35-year-old friends. Aren't there certain people who take birthdays way too seriously?
Oh, yeah. My buddy Matt
Happy
takes it way too seriously.
Birthday to him. I don't care.
Well, I mean, they'll tell you that they had a bad birthday or a good birthday. And it's like, it's your fucking birthday. You're 50. What the fuck? I mean, really?
Yeah.
You're really that worried about your birthday? You're really going to talk about your birthday for 2 weeks ahead of time and for a week afterwards? Well, and
my buddy Matt makes it a big deal about his birthday. And the best part is he shares it with another friend of ours, Jeff, who's just like, okay.
He doesn't care.
But it's really Matt's birthday. It's not Jeff's.
Well, see, that's the thing is I have a group of buddies, really close friends, and all of them seem to have the same birthday, which is the end of August, which probably means their parents got it on New Year's Eve.
Hot.
Yeah, but anyway, they all have the same birthday, so we always kind of come together and have a barbecue and hang out.
Birthday party. Have a birthday
party. Birthday party.
Can't disguise everything as a barbecue, just like your gender reveal party.
That was a legit barbecue.
Oh, you didn't reveal the gender?
Well, we didn't talk about that, did we?
No. How'd you do it? I don't even know.
Gotcha.
Do you know how we revealed the gender?
I have no idea.
You don't really?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I don't either.
Well, we decided to have a barbecue just to kind of...
You decided to have a gender reveal party.
And some family. And it just so happened that Bill ran out with wearing like a pink dress.
Oh, Bill.
Oh,
Bill revealed the gender?
Yeah.
Did he run out appropriately or did he refuse to come out of the house?
Actually, he started running towards Marcus's house because he loves Marcus. And I had to yank the chain on him a little bit. And then he followed suit, kept running. And everybody was surprised. Oh, it's a girl.
Did some people go, what's Bill doing out here?
Why is he
dressed like a girl?
Binary.
Yeah, he's not binary.
Not binary.
What is they doing out here?
Bill's a good boy.
I make a big deal out of my birthday party because I always
want... You're a girl, though.
I want to use it... No, I always want to use it as an excuse to miss Dream Cruise. Like, you can't make me go there on my birthday.
I don't care.
Great point.
Yeah.
Does everyone want to go to Dream Cruise, or there's just a party?
There's a it's a party.
As part of Dream Cruise.
Yeah, there's always a party.
Yeah, I guess.
There's people that live around at parties.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good excuse to have a party, I suppose.
No, there are tons of related parties. But
I'll
yeah.
bring the cookies.
It is always such a pain in the ass to get anywhere. It was at Jimmy John's yesterday, and the Jimmy John's driver was saying, oh, yeah, delivering during Dream Cruise. Oh, my God. Thank God I know all the shortcuts.
Ooh.
That's what I was like, ooh.
All the shortcuts. With what? Your phone? Navigation?
I'm an excellent driver.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
It's
just
somehow.
Small talk. He just had to make small talk.
He had a delivery on Woodward.
Did he really?
It's like, well, how long did that take? And it was 5 minutes. I went to the alleys. And
cool.
Aren't you something?
That's their brand. That's part of their brand.
I know. I was impressed.
Well, good for you.
They are fast there, by the way. You remember last night? I was so hungry.
That blew me away.
Maz was too. And I said, Maz was like, should we order? I was like, no, I can go there and be back in 15 minutes with a sandwich. I was back in less than 15 minutes. Because you go in there and I order, and before I'm done paying, they're already making a sandwich.
Yeah. No, I know. They're great.
By the way, just an advice for Jimmy John's. There's like three Jimmy John's that I go in, and all of them have seating. No one's ever seated there.
I've never seen anybody eating inside of Jimmy John's.
No.
Never.
No.
So why do they have the seating? Shouldn't they eliminate the seating and save space?
Yeah.
Just a thought for Jimmy. I'm just offering this up. If you want to save money, Jimmy John's.
That is brilliant.
And I've never seen anyone eating at Subway either.
Oh, I've seen people eat at Subway.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I would never.
The one on Woodward, yeah.
Wait, the one on like 12 Mile or 11, between 11 and 12? And that
yeah.
Never seen anyone eat in there.
The last time I was there, there was a guy who had to tell me all about his Uber driving.
Nice.
Oh, on the side from Subway?
I've never prayed. No. He was getting a sandwich at Subway.
Oh.
And he decided to make small talk to tell me about all his Uber driving.
I don't know what Uber is.
Which was fine, but it wasn't terribly interesting.
I don't know that I would stand in line with you. I mean, it's not that you don't look approachable, but I don't think I would be just volunteering everything.
Maybe I started the conversation.
Oh, maybe you did. Did you?
Maybe. I've been known to do that.
Do people drive for Uber for years? I mean, has it become almost an occupation for some people? Because I honestly can't figure out how Uber drivers make any real money.
They don't.
So why are people still driving for Uber? I don't get it.
Because they probably have another job and they want to get out of the house and make some extra money in the gig economy.
But the way, and this is after talking to a couple of the drivers, it seems like they're just taking the money out of their car because they're not really getting paid for their mileage.
You better get good mileage.
It's much lower paying than being a cabbie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it just seems like they took money out of the industry.
I think around here it might be a little better than, say, downtown Chicago, because cabs are so prevalent. It's hard to get cabs around here.
Yeah, that's true. But they don't. Do they charge more here for Uber?
Oh, it depends on when you ask one or when you summon one. Because there was surge pricing Saturday night. Going from MGM Casino to my hotel was $35.
What? Wait, how far was that?
I pulled it up on my phone. That's not far, is it? I mean, how far away?
What hotel were you in?
Would you cross the Delaware Water Gap?
Marriott. Rensen.
Oh, that's not far at all.
That's not that far at all. And the first price that popped up was 35, no, two. And then the second that popped up was 25. And then I just completely, I was like, screw it. I'm bored. I'm bored, but I'll.
Why is the second person charging less than the first person?
I don't know. This isn't the same.
A spending money contest.
Was it a different Uber? Like Uber X or?
No, it was the same.
Only Uber Black for Trudy.
No, I always do X. What difference does that?
I don't know. I don't even know. I never use Uber. I don't. Yeah.
What are they? He was black.
Yeah, it's a black driver versus a straight edge driver. Uber X.
Yeah. Anyway, somebody took us home, but yeah.
Is the guy available that had the unfortunate dog sitting experience?
We can try. The video's queued up, Brandon.
Okay. Yeah. Let's listen. This is breaking news. That's very important. We should have led the show with it. Probably.
I couldn't stop laughing at.
Where's
this
Mark Krim?
Where are we at?
First tab on the browser. This story, yeah.
Please don't be an ad now.
Oh, get off of there, Reese Witherspoon. Whatever she's plugging, I'm not buying.
What is she plugging?
Crate and Barrel. Fuck off, Crate and Barrel.
Oh, she's got her own line of furniture, probably.
Yeah, she got enough gigs.
Is that where you got the crib from?
No, we
IKEA.
There we get it. Bye bye, baby.
Aww.
Aww. Yeah. By the way, look for a lot more movie stars doing ads because that used to be a real no no. They would do them in Japan or somewhere. They'd be doing them over here because of the lower amount, the lower total revenue for movies. The money's coming from just a few movies. Yeah. The tentpole movies, the tentpole. If you're not one of those tentpole people, like Meryl Streep is an example of somebody who makes dramas typically.
Yeah.
It's like those movies don't really come around very often anymore. So a lot of those people are going, how do I keep making a living?
I just did a commercial for Kraft. I'm the official voice for Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, so they're taking us. So they're all, they mentioned that some of these people would do podcasts to make
commercials
money.
Have the power to change the world.
All right,
I'm just gonna take over all the little people.
It's a very important beware of this app called WAG. That's really the moral of the story.
I agree. Because the worst part of the story is the way the dog is treated by this dog sitting service.
Great video you got here.
Well, the house is
your first day.
This is a bummer too.
Refresh it. And maybe we can watch Reese Witherspoon again.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is that Arrow elusive, or what's going on?
That tiny hands are hard to aim it at the arrow. Hi, Brandon. Are you glad you stopped by today?
Audio problem?
Oh, what's this ad about? What's about buying this?
What? I told you. This
is Crate and Barrel again.
Is it Witherspoon again?
No.
I'm boycotting her. I'm leading a boycott.
That's not going to be hard.
Maybe not.
All right,
what is this dumb ad for?
She's still doing that TV show, isn't she?
Yeah, she's coming back for a second season on that TV show, which is what?
Isn't it time for that TV show to have already happened?
You'd think.
Seems like it was
it's for Comcast.
Ago.
Gross.
Gone wrong has one Colorado Springs homeowner warning others about a popular app.
Fox 21's Sarah Ferguson shows us the situation he walked into after scheduling the dog sitter.
Oh,
the general smell in the house is what's just disgusting. I've had all the windows and doors open.
A smell he discovered after using the popular dog walking app, WAG.
Oh, he's such a natural.
He came home around 1 a.m. and he noticed two men without their shirts on sitting on this couch. This is what he says he saw next.
He still has
there
that couch.
There was an open bottle of personal lubricant and a camcorder on the end table. So it's pretty self-explanatory what was going on.
Is that Chris
Watt? To be completely honest, I didn't have the WD-40 dog sitter. And my keys were stuck in my car, so I ended up grabbing what I had in my car from things that, you know, I...
She said her key was stuck in the door, and that's she didn't have the WD-40. That's why they grabbed the personal lube.
Oh, bullshit.
So she had a personal lube in her car, which is interesting.
Oh, I got to keep some handy.
Two shirtless dudes with lube.
And I didn't think to put it back in my car.
Cleet says that wasn't lube around? It, though. His sheets were also dirty, and as he looked closer.
There's also what I can only assume are bodily fluids on the couch.
You assume that.
I wouldn't know anything about that because I know that I took a shower at his house and I sat on the couch. And
that's not okay either.
And you're taking a shower.
My friends got there.
My friends got there.
His dog Jimbo was also locked in a bedroom, sitting in his own urine, acting terrified.
It was just a total mess, and I can only imagine what poor Jimbo saw in there.
According to WAG, this specific dog sitter had a rating of 4.96
out of 5. Mike and the boys.
Needed a combination of 305 walks and dog sittings. As far as her experience with Cleet, though, the sitter had this to say.
I'd like to apologize to him for making him feel like I violated his house because that wasn't my intention. I misinterpreted information, and I had guests over when I shouldn't have.
I'm Sarah Ferguson reporting bang. On the west side of Colorado Springs.
So
Fox
I noticed your home
news.
Smells of
right
feces.
She was making a video for YouPorn.
Probably.
One of those.
Yeah, well, hopefully ex-hamster.
Probably.
They need some content.
I really want to know, were the dudes getting it on? That's what it sounded
no,
like.
No,
probably.
No. She was getting tag-teamed for sure.
Really?
She admitted that the lube was hers. Those two guys were shirtless because they just got done.
Yeah, but they're still hanging out together while she's taking a shower.
On the couch.
To each other.
And they honestly,
they're refracting together. That's too weird.
Yeah. Eiffel Tower.
With their shirts off.
With their shirts off, exactly.
And honestly, what are they, Aretha Franklin's granddaughter? Why do they have a fucking camcorder? Can you use your phone?
That's all respectable porn
that
is shot
ridiculous.
On a camcorder.
Camcorder?
Yeah, this is what the camcorder picked up prior to that guy getting home.
I have been with my share of guys, but I have never had two guys at once.
Hot.
That no, poor you know dog, why? Jimbo. It's his job to protect the house, and he's locked in, and there's all that going on.
Well, that dog, there's an entire room, and yet that dog needs to sit down right where it urined.
He'd rather sit in his own urine than watch those animals go at it.
The dog put itself in the victim position. It wanted to be caught as a victim. So it did it on purpose. And by the way, the reason she used the camcorder is because she knew if she recorded on her phone, it was going to be so hot that somebody demanded out of the iCloud. Somebody would weasel it. Be part of the next, what's the fract?
The fappening? I think you're right. That's probably why it's on a camcorder.
These two dudes are so hot boofooing that there's no way it's not coming out of the fappening. He'll recognize his couch.
I got to go. See you later.
Hey, is that the public viewing?
Wait, do we have his phone number?
Yeah, here it is. Man, I hope he doesn't answer now because I have to leave.
Bye, Mark.
Bye.
Bye.
Where are you going?
I was waiting for that question. It's the orientation for Charlotte School.
Aww.
At 5:30?
It starts at 6.
What kind of school is this? Okay, you better get out of here.
And what I was told was, well, one of us has to stay with the kids, and then the other one goes. And I said, I'll go. That's okay. And she's like,
get him out of here.
You're not going to pay attention. You're going to forget something. And I said, I'll remember all the important stuff, which will be nothing.
Stupid idiot. Get the out of here.
Hey!
Look at the...
you're out of here, trash. Not fair.
Did you see the difference?
I like being on this side.
Hey! I said, get out of my house.
What are you saying,
Trent? See the difference in the public viewing for John McCain?
Yeah, it's a little less rowdy.
A little contrast.
Yes.
A bit.
Cindy McCain leaning on the casket. Do people do that?
You know.
I guess.
You know. There's an article already about, is she going to take over his...
I know. Trudy, I've been reading up on that. I think it is so embarrassing to the position of Senate that it doesn't matter who you are, how important a senator you are. If you die, your wife can just take over. Without missing a beat.
They already have her positioned as being a warrior for him and.
Oh please!
Did you guys
an easy gig
or discuss how many pallbearers there are?
Yeah, 25.
That's a lot of pallbearers.
We were trying to figure out why would Warren Beatty be a pallbearer at John McCain's.
Doesn't that
seem weird? I wondered if maybe he liked watching him bang Cindy. If Warren Beatty banged Cindy and he liked watching. That's the only thing I could figure out. What connection would they have? Warren Beatty and John McCain?
Well, the pre-show speculation from Mark was that they, used to roll together. Wingman? One was a wingman for the other? Or
John McCain is not cool enough to roll. He can't even lift his arm.
He dated that stripper.
He did?
What?
Yeah, he dated the strip. Didn't you see the special in 2020 where he dated Miami Flame or something like that was her name?
Was that after his first divorce or during his first marriage or something?
I think so, yeah.
Hot.
He was kind of a wild man.
Oh, no, it was before his first marriage. Yeah.
But Warren Beatty is just banging everything in sight, and John McKay can't even lift his arm.
This was before, they would have been about the same age, so they could have been rolling it.
Is Warren Beatty 81? He might be.
Yeah, he looks all of 81.
But John McCain was in the military. He was at the Naval Academy. He went straight into the military.
He was a playboy, though.
Beatty is 81.
I cannot see Beatty wanting John McCain even picking up his crumbs. There's no way. Warren Beatty, Julie Christie. I mean, the hottest women.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. How did they know each other? I mean, hi.
I can't. I think it's got to be some late in life deal.
But the stripper was early in life, and that seems like that's Beatty's.
But Warren Beatty wouldn't go to some low-rent strip club.
With John McCain?
And the hottest woman in the world wanted to nail Warren Beatty. John McCain had to work for it.
He was a party guy, though.
Imagine those guys hustling women together.
You know, you're thinking of John McCain 5 years ago.
No, I'm picturing John McCain. He was a fairly hip guy, but he was a total fuck-off. But he was in the military all that time. How does he run into Warren Beatty? It's got to be as a senator. He must have met him as a senator. But even that doesn't make sense because McCain's a righty and Beatty's a lefty.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably at a party.
Well, I just see he says, I've known John for a long time. That's pretty much all I can find so far.
Maybe they got it on with each other. I don't know.
Maybe their wives were friends.
Beatty was into military dudes.
Maybe so.
Annette Bening and Cindy McCain, looks like they were chums, too.
Oh.
Huh.
Okay. They might have switched once in a while. No one knows. No one, Warren Beatty. It's all about the women with Warren.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
has
he
made a movie lately?
No. I saw him at an award show a couple years ago, and he looked like, honestly, looked like Annette Bening's balloon on the red carpet.
Yeah, he does look kind of out of it. I know.
I don't know if he was on something, he's tripping, or if what was happening.
It is kind of weird when these really hip people get old.
Yeah.
Which I'm sorry to say I've seen, witnessed it firsthand, and it's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because you just don't picture it happening. Yeah. And the other part is that, you know, that hip person is still sort of in there.
Right.
Because they're hip.
Sinking.
I mean, like Jane Fonda, I saw her talking the other day, and she still sounds like Jane Fonda. Not that I think of her as being, she's an interesting person.
And
in her own
in
weird way.
She's in decent shape for,
she looks great.
70s, yes. 80s, whatever yeah. she is.
For 80, I mean, if you wanted to bang like a 65, 68-year-old, she'd be
up for it.
She looks like she's in her mid-60s, maybe. Maybe younger. I don't know. She looks pretty damn good.
Beatty's only done two movies since Bullworth in 98. He did Town and Country in 2001, and then Rules Don't Apply in 2016. But looking at his filmography, throughout his entire career,
he never made a lot of movies.
He was only in a couple movies. He really was. The thing is, though,
he spent like 4 years on Reds.
But every time he was in like a big movie, he was just up for every award. Splendor in the Grass, Bonnie and Clyde, Shampoo.
Great. Shampoo's great.
Heaven Can Wait.
Heaven Can Wait's pretty good.
Reds, Dick Tracy.
Reds is phenomenal. Reds is really good.
Bugsy and Bulwark.
Bugsy's awesome. Wow, that's it?
Well, those are the ones where he got just all this accolade.
Oh, he's in Ishtar and some other.
I saw Ishtar and I didn't think it was horrible. Remember how?
Well, expectations are so low for that movie. It's the biggest bomb ever, and yet a lot of people say it. Some people really like it.
I thought it was.
I should go over the
list.
23 yeah. movies for a guy
that's not
heralded
not
as
many
a
at all.
Famous actor.
Well, he's great. I think he's great in the stuff he does.
Shit, there's some dudes who have 6, 7, 8 a year.
Yeah.
Well, they
churn out shit.
You're right, Drew, though, that movies make less money now, so the guys who are making more movies now have to work harder.
And he did do a lot of directing, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he did.
There's just fewer movies to get a movie made by a major studio. It's got to be one of those tentpole movies that has sequels and sequels and sequels and mm-hmm. superheroes and action adventure. Actually, the horror movie world, I guess, is still pretty big. But the dramas and those little comedies that could be really big, you know, if they...
Not as good. Although, I'm excited about a rom-com, and I haven't been in a really long time.
What?
Keanu Reeves.
John Wick 3?
No, but that's going to be exciting,
rom-com.
Too. Keanu Reeves going way against his usual, you know, like, identity, and he's going to be with Winona Ryder in the Wedding Crasher movie.
Oh.
Is it in 3D? Not interested.
Well, I do like Winona in almost anything.
I love Keanu Reeves, though, and I can't believe he's doing it, but he crashed a wedding just recently in Santa Monica, and there are pictures with him and the bride and groom, and Keanu Reeves.
Was that his preparation? He crashed the wedding?
That's his PR friend. Yep.
I see.
I know.
He is a cool dude, though. He's pretty legit when it comes to the martial arts. He seems to me like the actor that can probably whoop the most ass.
Yeah. And I also love how his hair has been the same for the past couple of years.
He hasn't really aged.
Wild man looking.
Yeah, he just looks like his old self.
I was pretty geeked for Bill and Ted Part 3, but he keeps getting pushed back.
Hey, did he leave you Cleet's phone number?
Yeah, I got Cleet's phone number.
It's called Cleet.
the movies, though... Box office bombs?
Yeah.
Did you get that list?
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now.
Isn't that insane?
Ishtar's in there. It's a Wonderful Life. I didn't realize it was a Wonderful Life bombed. The Insider, the 60 Minutes movie about the cigarette tobacco industry.
Oh, yeah, with Russell Crowe.
It was good. Idiocracy. I can't believe Idiocracy was a bomb.
You know what? And it's all reality now.
Yeah.
We all laughed at it.
It is. John Carter, The King of Comedy.
I thought that was okay.
I love The King of Comedy.
Blade Runner. I can't believe that was...
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Jupiter Ascending, The Lone Ranger, Meet Joe Black. Really? Meet Joe Black is a good movie? I never gave it a chance. Mulholland Drive is great. One from the Heart. That's not a bad movie.
Children of Men.
That was a good movie.
It was a good movie. It's very grim. And everybody
pop star, never stop, never stop, never stopping. Shoot 'em up, Showgirls, A Simple Plan. A Simple Plan's a great movie.
Come on, Cletus.
Fight Club.
Steve Jobs, Sunshine, Treasure Planet, The Tree of Life. Oh, I don't think I like The Tree of Life.
Oh, Heaven's Gate. That's more
yeah, Heaven's
Hitty,
Gate.
Right?
Yeah, that's that was okay. I didn't realize it was a bomb.
Me either.
Annihilation, that's a new movie.
I didn't go to that because I saw there were too many.
Hi, this is Cleet with Red Rock Realty. Leave Cleet. A message, or better yet, send a text, and I'll get right back to you. Thanks.
We did that.
Oh, you left me
at
message
at the tone,
already?
Please record
okay.
your message.
You hang up.
When you finish
recording. Cleet! Cleeter!
Yeah, Children of Men, Clockers, Dune.
I don't know. That was a little... I didn't see Dune. I read one of those, and I was like, what the hell?
Fight Club and The Fountain, Heaven's Gate, Grindhouse.
Grindhouse was good.
Foxy. That's not The House. How do you know?
What's
know.
With these movies?
They're movies that bombed at the box office that are worth watching. They're good movies.
Brazil? Did you mention that?
Brazil, what year is that?
Half-Baked.
Brazil's...
Half-Baked is good.
85, Terry Gilliam.
Yeah,
that was good. It was weird, but
I didn't. What's it about?
It's well. First of all, it's visual and it's sci-fi, and it's kind of a take on George Orwell's 1984.
Oh,
am I boring you yet?
No, no.
And then just I don't know. One thing it didn't have was the appeal of mass audiences who were scared away. By reports that Terry Gilliam was battling the studio. I don't know. Whatever. I can't remember what it was about for some reason.
Okay.
Maybe it wasn't as good as it was. Air conditioner repairman gone rogue. And it was Bob De Niro.
Well, De Niro's usually worth watching.
Hmm. One bomb that's worth watching is...
I did not hit her. It's not true.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Mark's gone. Well, but...
I love the movie about the movie.
Yeah, the movie about the movie.
What's the movie about the movie called?
But it's not a movie that you want to watch by yourself because you're just going to kind of be irritated by it. But if you have three or four buddies over it and you're just kind of watching it, it's so funny just to see how these guys just completely wrecked that movie.
Well, I couldn't believe that the movie about the movie, what's the name of the movie about the movie? James Franco?
Disaster Artist.
Disaster Artist. Yeah, I could not believe he was not nominated. I know he was Me Too'd, but he still was the best actor I saw.
You must be kidding, aren't you?
In a movie that year, I just didn't feel there was anything better. I really liked it. I thought it was such a cool idea. Yeah. First of all, it was so weird doing a movie where James Franco is directing himself playing a director in another movie that was a bomb.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it really was.
And he was really good. God, he did a good job playing that guy.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, there's another one I love. Did that get box office acclaim?
Disaster Artist?
Tropic Thunder.
Oh. I don't know that seemed like it. A lot of people talked about that movie. I don't know what it did at the box office.
It did okay.
It got a taboo because that was Robert Downey Jr. playing a guy in blackface.
They were saying that movie would not be made now, which I think is sort of stupid.
$92 million budget, $188 million made. So they made their money back and then some more.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp has won part of his suit against his lawyer, which all of Johnny Depp's legal activity is very interesting. He didn't give a shit about his business ever. And then all of a sudden he realized, oh, my God, I don't have any money. And he's like, huh, they must have screwed me because I made lots of money, even though he's been spending insane amounts of money and they've been telling him to knock it off, which he refused to do.
Just stay good at what you're doing, which is, I guess, being poor.
I think he sued first the agency and he kind of lost that suit, really, generally speaking. The lawyer suit, though, it sounds like he's had an early victory because... They have a contingency arrangement with his lawyer, as in you make this and we make this percentage of it.
Oh.
With an attorney, apparently that's a no-no.
Right.
Great lawyer.
And the attorney's saying, no, it's not a contingency. We're betting on him. And his income fluctuates, so if he makes money, we make money. If he doesn't make money, well, Johnny Depp always makes money. Why should he pay a lawyer a percentage? That seems crazy to me. It's like, how was he really paying attention?
Oh God, no, he was bombed on like how much did he spend on wine?
$30,000 a month, I think.
Yeah.
A month.
I don't know. He just sounds like such a dope. And the attorney there, the judge said, you know, this, first of all, it's not in writing. Second of all, you can't have a contingency. It doesn't matter if you're in entertainment or anything else. Unless it's in writing. And it wasn't in writing. And the attorneys are trying to say it's not a contingency. I don't know. It just sounds so dumb. I don't know how else to put it.
Talking about the Ben Affleck thing yet?
No. What's the Ben Affleck news?
Ben Affleck was drinking alone for days in his L.A. home and had barely eaten and not showered before he went to rehab.
God. Some of these binges,
drinking,
you know,
alone.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, drinking alone sounds so bad.
There's a picture of it. I don't know who was taking the picture of him drinking.
Oh, that's him
alone
in the car.
Yeah. That's him in the car. That's right. That's him with the cry face.
Yeah, before they stopped at Jack in the Box.
Key you.
By the way, is there any story about him going to rehab that doesn't mention him stopping at Jack in the Box? Why is that so critical to the story?
Makes me want to stop at Jack in the Box.
I know, it makes me, I'm hungry right now. I would love to stop at Jack in the Box.
Oh, she kind of scooped him up off the floor probably because he'd been drinking alone and took him there, right? I bet.
Yes, and in one of the pictures, you can tell he's crying in the back seat.
Oh, what a baby.
I know, and the lawyer's sitting next to Jennifer Garner, and it's like, all I could think of was, oh my God, I'm so glad I was in the back seat of that car because it looks so intense, like I would have two people beating up on me.
You're going into a rehab.
That were just
going
to overwhelm me. I don't know where they're taking me, but they're clearly in charge.
And meanwhile, I'm just weak because
meanwhile, it's just this child/adult sitting in the back seat. I don't know why I felt sorry for him.
Kinda.
Brandon sent us a phone number today in his prep for Tattoo Roulette.
Oh, yeah.
For $40, you get whatever you get. You put $40, and I guess this green blob machine gives you the tattoo. It's just rando. It's totally rando.
Really?
And you have to get the tattoo unless you pay $10 for a second spin.
Oh, and then that's it? You got to get that one?
Yeah, either that or forfeit the money, I guess. But it sounds like everyone gets the green blob roulette tattoo, whatever one comes up.
That's insane. I thought
see the girl's arm who you got nothing but rando tattoos out of the green blob rando machine?
Oh, God. I mean, how could you do that?
I don't know. She was really happy, though. She liked them all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were acting like, oh, these are nice tattoos.
Oh. Well, if you get a good artist, you know, they can at least make them look nice.
But what if you were going to get something tattooed for life, wouldn't you want to choose it?
Yeah.
They were being random.
You know what? People aren't really great at choosing tattoos for life anyway, though. But for themselves, are they? Have you ever seen one that wasn't?
There seem to be a lot of bad decisions made in the tattooing world.
I know.
In my opinion, I just see green blobs, so it doesn't matter what you get. All I see is green.
So who's the artist?
Does anyone else see green blobs besides me?
And that green thing today was enough.
It's mostly when I look at a distance. Uh-huh. Or like when Lady Gaga was nude, I just saw green blobs. Like, God, there's green blobs all over her body. Wash her off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
That or you may need LASIK.
Well, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are happy with them, but some of them, you know, are more colorful. But I usually it seems like the green just dominates.
It does.
Yeah, the black just seems to turn into green over time.
It oxidizes.
Give you the example on my back.
This is in Houma, Louisiana, which is
Houma.
Birthplace of Britney Spears.
Oh, really?
Houma.
Yeah. As in Houma Dream?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Houma Dream, Louisiana, Copperhead Tattooing.
We can give them a shot. We can kind of find out what the deal is here.
It seems like a joke, but I mean, honestly, I thought it was a joke when I was reading it, but then it sounded like they're serious. Nice choice.
I got Elvis on my elbow. I love the lyrics to this song.
I like this song. What is Van Halen doing now? Does anyone know?
Radio silence.
Seems like it.
I
would think they'd be touring, wouldn't you?
I mean, you think they would. I mean, summer tour season is kind of over, but
it just seems like they're at a weird point to be taking a lot of time off.
Is it the health thing?
Eddie, you mean?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I thought he was okay.
The inability to decide which singer.
That's always a problem. But Ross always
will. Head tattoo.
Hey, this is the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. We were just reading about the tattoo roulette.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Does somebody have a minute to talk to us on the radio?
I mean, I'm kind of like in the middle of a tattoo right now.
Ooh. Who are you? Is it from Tattoo Roulette?
No, it's just a regular appointment.
Do you throw any shitty ones in the Tattoo Roulette, or are they all good ones?
No, they're all good, man. There's no dicks or anything in there.
Nice.
Okay, well, you're in the middle of a tattoo, so I guess you're probably not terribly available.
Don't you have a headset, and you could just keep working on the tattoo while you talk to us?
No, I mean, I guess I could, but...
You have to concentrate.
Kind of in a break right now. I kind of need both hands, though.
Aren't you from Britney? Isn't it Britney Spears' birth town?
No, she's a little further north of... she's on the north side of New Orleans. Well, north of Lake Pontchartrain. We're way further south.
Further north, like Grandma Brie.
Yep, further north.
All right, well, listen, we'll try another time. But it was exciting to read about. I was stunned to see people would literally play roulette with tattoos. But I guess they will, huh?
Yeah. I mean, with anything, really, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for the time. We'll try you back when you have more time.
All right. Thanks,
okay,
man.
Okay. You bet. Bye-bye.
Oh, man, I want to find out, like, what's the most tattooed body part?
There's no dicks in there.
That was funny.
Yeah, boy.
Will you look up Van Halen? I'm really
I'm looking at
him
now.
Me.
I'm on their website. Van Halen of the Minions is performing. Stuart Van Halen of the Minions, you know, the cartoon, is performing Eruption.
Stuart?
Okay.
And they, 2015 North American tour dates, no tour dates. And that's all there is about touring.
Wait, they haven't toured in 16, 17, or 18?
No.
What's Wolfie doing?
Yeah,
how's Wolfie
getting his coin?
Yeah. What's up with Wolfie?
I do know he plays with Tremonti.
He does have another band. He does. I would just think, Eddie, what does Eddie do when he doesn't play in a band? It seems to me he only gets in trouble.
Nobody works on this website for sure, because nothing's been posted since 2015.
Nothing's posted?
There's been nothing.
That's the Van Halen website?
The official Van Halen website.
Wow, that's weird.
I know.
I gotta get Mike Clark on the case. He'll be livid.
Maybe this is
the whole lead singer thing. You know, the weird thing is Sammy just is busy, always doing something. He doesn't need Van Halen.
Yeah.
He really doesn't.
He doesn't really need music anymore, does he?
Sammy?
With all that tequila money?
Oh, no, he doesn't need to do anything.
Resort?
Somebody's funny. Maybe it's... I always want to give Brandon credit where credit is not due.
Yeah, no, it was me.
Someone sent me a picture of Bill Clinton today next to Sammy Hagar today because they were both turned 71, I think, on the same day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or they're both 71 or whatever. And Sammy, of course, has got the blonde hair. He's smiling, looks great. And Bill Clinton just looked lost, man. Pale face, just out of it.
Well, Sammy's had a great life with all the women and drinking and everything he could ever want. And Bill Clinton is living with him.
You're talking about this photo here.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's a bad picture of Clinton where his eyes are just completely sunken in.
It is terrible. It's a good picture of Sammy.
I do have some breaking news on Wolfie, though.
Okay.
Hold on. Real quick, Sammy wanted to say something.
Tequila made me do it!
So he just tweeted that picture out not too long ago. Wolfie got even bigger.
Oh, my God.
Wow, he's huge.
He looks like Gary Time from Teen Mom.
Oh. Chaz Bono is what I was...
Chaz Bono.
Wow, that's really good. He does look like Chaz. He looks a lot like Chaz.
Oh, man.
I wonder if Wolfie gets laid massively for being Wolfie Van Halen.
Hell yeah. He was probably getting laid when he was 12.
Can you Google Wolfie Van Halen girlfriend?
I nailed Asia Argento.
See some hot chick come up for no reason.
And he'd never complain.
Wolfie.
No, I was going to mention, though... Oh, shit.
What'd you do?
No!
Ah!
I hate that.
The Janelle Evans, PTSD.
Oh, yeah. Poor Janelle.
She has PTSD because she pulled a gun on someone.
She gave herself PTSD.
She did.
Wow, I didn't know you could do that.
By committing violence against someone else or perpetrating almost violence. That's assault, by the way, right?
I don't know what it was.
Pulling a gun on someone?
Someone was tailgating her.
Right.
So then they pulled in front of her, and she claimed they broke, and she had to drive into a ditch, which she didn't. Remember, she kept exaggerating how bad it was?
It got worse and worse depending on who she was saying it to.
She had to break briefly. And so she then chased the guy to his house and pulled a gun when she
got
to his house. Right.
Yeah, you don't have to shoot the gun for it to
be
assault.
Something. I mean, that was insane. It was on TV.
That's assault, brother.
Then she knocked over his mailbox, and he wouldn't let her drive away. He blocked her in his own driveway. And so I think she drove around him, and she took off, and she got pulled over because he called the cops. And she, of course, it was all his fault.
Wow.
And by the way, we don't know what she did before he tailgated her.
Is Wolfie now just Wolf Van Halen?
Probably. You know, kind of like how Billy's like to be, call me Bill now. Don't call me Wolfie anymore.
What happened with Bill the dog?
Look at his girlfriend, by the way. Oh, my God.
What?
She is an absolute knockout.
Oh, come on.
Andrea Alsop. Oh, my God.
He doesn't have that much money, does he?
Hell yeah, he does.
Wait, but she has to fuck him?
Well, I guess.
Well, if she's going to be his girlfriend.
She looks extremely happy with him.
She loves him for himself.
All right. Yeah. I guess.
God, she is gorgeous.
Wow. I don't know. I just don't see that chick with a fat guy. He does look like Chaz Bono. Could you see that chick with Chaz Bono?
Maybe.
See that?
I don't know. Let's look up Chaz's girlfriend. She's probably hot, too.
Wow.
I'm trying to remember. Chaz is a girl that's now Chaz, right?
Chastity, okay. Who became a guy. Yeah.
So.
Dude, look at Chaz Bono's girlfriend, dude.
What?
Whoa.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And then there's his mom. See, here's he's dated a lot of hot chicks.
That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Are these chicks even.
Sounds
well,
like.
Well, I guess it's. What
sounds like a pretty jelly.
What I am? What pronoun does Chaz Bono use?
Oh, they.
No, sure. Chaz is a he now.
Okay.
I think.
Just checking.
Yeah. He worked hard to be a he.
He actually looks best now than he's ever looked, because there was that period where it was like,
I know, he looked pretty iffy. He does look pretty good. He looks like a dude.
Yeah. He's
said many
up.
Times, I would have a beer with Chaz.
Yeah, he's way thinner than Wolfie.
The Ohio State wide receivers coach that caused all the havoc at Ohio State, Zach Smith, has been tweeting away. Here we go, social media. So he's making news. He's threatening to sue Brett McMurphy, the reporter who originally revealed the allegations.
Oh, really?
Yes. Lashed out at critics.
To reveal allegations?
Yes. And he claims that Courtney, his ex, is no victim. Silence equals over. Ooh, that was powerful. I tried, but I can't watch. While Brett McMurphy and Feinbaum and others at ESPN continue to run their mouths, not only without knowledge, but with complete disregard for my children. Their mother had plenty of disregard for them in this time for you all to face the damage you're causing. And, hey, Brett McMurphy, look at these faces, you heartless and moralist clowns. Every lie or dramatic version of the truth you report, you hurt these precious children, who he's making public, by the way. Just like their mom has and continues to. Do you have families, kids? Hey, Brett McMurphy, just a few questions because you're an outstanding journalist, in quotes. How'd you get that interview with Coach Tom Herman as your first interview at Watch Stadium? I don't know what that means. How come you didn't ask him about the alleged strip club incident that you reported about?
Well, he's proving that he can keep his temper under wraps, right?
Well, he did. He hasn't said a lot. He's been defending Urban Meyer. Hey, Brett McMurphy, just a few quick questions, because you're an outstanding journalist. Oh, that's the same one. Wait. Did you ask him about the ensuing days? Have you vetted any credibility in any of your reports? That's not really, you don't vet credibility.
No. Have you vetted any of your reports, or is there credibility in any?
Yeah.
What in the hell are you talking about?
He's not a wordsmith.
I'm waiting for one thing that is accurate beyond a name change or Photoshop session. I will see you in court, you clown.
Good.
Let's talk about facts, and so many mainly opposing fan bases fans want to talk. I do agree that a lot of this story involves Ohio State fans and opposing fans, and not really a lot of people that are sort of above the situation. My kids are suffering because of all this, most important. 2, I never beat my wife. 3, Ohio State botched the investigation, worse off, the punishment. They forced Coach Meyer into a statement, I hope at least, because he knows what's real and would have never apologized. That was pretty apparent that he did not want to apologize. There was no doubt in my mind he does not feel sorry for Courtney Smith. I don't know why. Well,
didn't he break into her house, though? He's saying that he didn't beat her.
This
but
guy? Yeah, he was arrested recently. Recently, not in 2015, but he was arrested.
He hasn't done anything wrong.
I think it's for stalking, I believe.
Yeah. The only Van Halen news I can find is that they're re-airing the docuseries about them on Reels. So you'll be seeing that.
Oh.
And
which is kind of lame,
September
actually.
September 1st on Saturday.
I wasn't real impressed with that. Oh, I am seeing a docuseries, though, but I'll watch.
That's it.
I'm not real confident that that's going to be exciting.
What the hell?
This Zach Smith thing is... I don't know what to say.
He needs to just shut his mouth, doesn't he?
Yeah, Twitter's not the... It's not the best place to go off and try to defend yourself.
I don't think he's going to get a lot of people defending him either and agreeing with his statements. Just my first impression. But, all right, so tomorrow, do we have anybody left from Arts, Beats, and Eats? Financial Hotline shutting down?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Oh, I didn't know if we had somebody scheduled tomorrow.
No, not.
We don't.
Yeah, no.
I mean, we've pretty much...
we hit the highs.
Pretty mined the field. I just didn't know if Ben Folds is available.
Oh, God.
Or, who else? Or 38 Special.
There's
a Van Sant in the band. Or Eddie Money. We talked to Eddie a while back, though.
Yeah.
But, God, I thought these guys were great. Art was great. And Robin was great.
Yeah.
And Henry was cool.
Henry.
Spinners play Saturday.
Henry was on Atlantic Records, by the way, so he knew all about it.
Oh, yeah.
Wish we'd have known that.
Yeah, I know. And we have, of course, the Gin Blossoms Friday night at 5:30, 38 Special at 7:30. And then it's Art Alexakis and Everclear headlining at 9:30. And then Saturday night, Spinners are right after us. We're 4 to 7 at Mesa between 3rd and 4th Street on Main Street between 3rd and 4th in Royal Oak.
Please come.
Yeah, and there are wristbands available at Zot Ford in Holly. If you want to go, I think you can take a maximum of 4, which will get you into a lot of concerts.
Sweet.
And plus all the art and the eats, you're on your own for that. but that's a ton of concert money. I mean, 4 tickets to all those shows.
Yeah.
Ben Folds is on Sunday. They have country on Monday, I think. So, yeah, Spinners and Money Man on Saturday right after us. Of course, Michigan Notre Dame on the big screen at Mesa. I'm assured that'll be there. There'll be some music there during the day before we get there. So if you want to hang out Saturday, Arts, Beats, and Eats, stop by Mesa either on your way or afterwards between 4 and 7, and we got the show tomorrow. And I don't know what we're doing tomorrow. I have no idea. I saw it's the same crowd.
Cool.
So I guess that's about it. And we'll see ya!